It's Link's meme. Oh, that's what it is.
Hey, I got a great setup. Look, I got a tree. Look at that.
Hold on.
I got a menorah. I haven't looked. And I got a dreidel.
You guys do not need any gain.
I got some candles. Go look at this tree. My nephew did this tree. Look. Isn't it awesome? Look.
It is very cool.
It's all Invader Zim. Yeah. Oh, we got this cookbook. This Jewish cookbook. Oh, and look behind me. We got rid of the 70s look. This painting was done by, you know, those
Where are you at, guys?
What?
Where are you at right now?
I'm in a hidden location in the 70s. Anyway, see this picture right here?
Yeah, it's kind of creepy.
It's you know, remember that Chopper show? You know those guys from Orange Chopper?
Oh, yeah, County the Orange Chopper. County Chopper thingies.
Mikey, the youngest, the knucklehead guy, painted this. My sister got it for $10. $10.
Does she regret paying $10 for it?
No. It's
Are you sure?
Cool. Yeah. So anyway, so now I won't get grief from Rob. So also we got this Jewish holiday cookbook. It's going to be on my list of recommendations. Again, how to make kreflach for Yom Kippur.
Isn't that a Klingon dish?
Yes.
I thought it was.
Aunt Bella's rugelach. Muffins, butter, cookies. I don't know when this was made. This was printed. Let me look. 1979. Look at that.
Should we invite people to watch?
You know what? Yes, today is the first day of Chahanaka.
In celebration, should we invite people to watch live?
Oh my gosh, we should.
But only our Jewish friends.
Only our Jewish friends. And I have a drum. Ooh, I have a drum.
Well, let's start a drum circle. I'll go get my bongos.
All right. Oh. I got a practice drum. We'll play the little drummer boy who's Jewish. Oh my gosh, John. John is jumping out the window. John's got bongos, everybody. Bongos. All right, so should we play Little Drummer Boy?
I don't know the Little Drummer Boy. I have no sense of rhythm.
By our Hanukkah tree. Come and sew with me, Hanukkah tree. Take the picture, Roberta. Oh, here, take a picture with this. Go find that red thing. Go find the eye touch. Go find it. I have helper people.
You have minions? Uh-huh. I'm going to go ahead and start the broadcast. I don't care.
Oh, yeah. Aren't we doing that? This is the pre-show.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I hadn't started. No, I mean, I'm recording this, but well, I hadn't actually started the live stream out.
Oh.
So this part of the video isn't being recorded.
Oh, yeah. Live stream. Woo! Look! Again. Oh, so you haven't started? Start it. Start it. There's the tray. Look at that. All day. We'll have the tray. See, look. There's an... Look, that's... is that Dib? Who's that? Let me point. That's Dib. Right there, kids. It's Dib. Remember that show, Invader Zim? Let's see. Zach, come over here. Come over here.
Over the other way, Zach. Zach, where are you?
Yeah, over. Oh, yeah. Yell for your mom, too. Anyway, okay, so this is Zach. Come over here. Come over here. We're live. Say what's up. Over here.
What's up?
Yeah. Creep over. There you go. There's Zach. Okay, so this is your tree, right?
Yeah, that's my tree.
You can hear him, right, John?
Yeah, I can hear him.
Okay, so up here, way up at the top, Zach.
That's Beryl,
Sally,
and Jack.
We have security gnomes right here.
From Zim.
Yeah.
We also set up Zim, Gaz, Gurr, and Dib on the tree.
On the tree, yes. And we have a menorah over here.
Will he be upset with me if I tell you that I've never seen an episode of Invader Zim?
No, that's fine.
See, you're good.
All right. Good.
All right, so here we have our menorah right here.
It's a pretty weak-looking menorah, by the way.
I think
that candle should be standing straight. What, do you have a birthday candle in there? Is what you put in there?
Do you want to get ask your mom for a lighter? Thank you. Thank you, helper Zach. Thank you.
How is retirement treating you, Rox?
I have to get a job next year.
Well, you know, next year's only like 15 days away at this point.
I know. That's when I'll start. So, anybody that wants to give me a job, let me know. I'll send you my resume. That's how it works.
Okay.
Don't you want me to work with you, John?
Don't answer
so quickly. Okay, here we go. Oh, wow. Look at this. This is major. Look at this. This is our major. Our major lighter. Right? Yes. Yeah. So how's this work? You press this down. Look at that. Lighting the first kind. Yeah. Yes.
Out of curiosity, first of all, that flame is bigger than that candle.
Look at that. And Hanukkah is here. Ooh, look, Hanukkah. Wave. Thank you, Zach.
Bye, Zach.
That candle won't last. Anyway. Thank you.
Isn't that supposed to like last 8 days or something? I don't know. I'm dumb.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, so what's new now that we're on the holiday season? We did far better than Witch did. Oh, look, and a dreidel. Look, with a portable thing, portable dreidel holder thing. And I don't know what that is. What is that?
I don't know. I can't see it. Joe, put it up again.
What is that?
It's a dreidel.
What are they? I know. Ho. What are this like? Shin Ho. Shinabite. Something. It's a gambling game, you know. This is. You leave a coin. You take a coin. You take an extra coin. Something like that. We're all going to go to hell. We're making fun. Oh, this is like Gel. This is like Gel.
The Jewish faith
right?
doesn't believe in hell, I believe. So
this is like Gedel. Girardelli?
It's Girardelli chocolate?
Okay.
It's like Girardelli chocolate.
So, yes, if you get this one, this thing that looks like a G, you have to leave a Girardelli chocolate. This one looks like pie, so you have to leave a slice of pie. Doesn't it? Looks like pie.
Yes. Sure.
Sure it does. Look, looks like the number pi. Okay, so that you have to leave a pi. This looks like an upside down R.
So that means so it's a pirate.
R. No, that means that's like my initial. So you have to try to get me a job next year. Yeah. And then this is like a a Lego. So you have to leave a Lego.
You don't want to work right where I work.
Why?
Well, first of all, it's down here in Tampa.
Oh, okay.
Here's my new toy.
Oh, you got another.
No, it's the same. It's the same dog. It's just a Windows tablet.
Look, it's Ginger. That's her name, right? Ginger?
Yeah, Ginger and.
And Emma. Emma's the one that likes me. Ginger is your wife's dog. And your wife is very territorial about her dog. Right?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. We'll say sure.
Okay. Enough of that.
Now we're waiting for other people.
Yeah, we're filling time.
So, how about that local sports team?
The what?
How about that local sports team?
Which one? We have the Jaguars. I think they're like losers.
What state are you in right now, besides apathetic?
It's north of the Mason-Dixon line.
I thought the Mason-Dixon line ran north to south. It runs east to west?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it ran north to south.
From where to where?
From the north to the south.
No, I know, but where? I mean,
I don't
how
know.
Did you think that?
I don't know.
How did you even get through high school?
It was sexual in nature.
Okay. All right.
Let's just say that I can't ever look my drama teacher in the eye again.
Okay.
That, John, that implies you looked him in the eye the first time.
It was a she. Yeah. It was a she.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
Happy Chinamica. Widge.
Chinamica?
Yeah. It's better than saying Happy Cinnabite Day.
I like it. I don't understand it, but I do like it.
Okay.
Is it? What? Why is it Cinnabite? What makes it Cinnabite Day?
It's when there's a sale the first day of Hanukkah for Cinnabites, Cinnabons at the Cinnabite store.
What? I was like, what?
And I haven't been drinking. No, I take that back.
If you can't remember, you've been drinking. Maybe you've had some of that eggnog that John promised.
Yeah, no, my sister and I went to the St. Regis Hotel. We walked through along Fifth Ave to look at windows, and I came across, I'm like, oh my God, there's the St. Regis Hotel. Do you know what's in the St. Regis Hotel other than a ton of beds?
And Regis Philbin.
And 1,000 stories never to be heard from, is the Old King Cole Bar. Okay.
He was a merry old soul, correct?
Correct. It is the home of the Bloody Mary.
The person that kills people, or?
No, the drink.
Oh, okay.
Because that would be Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary Bar. So. Because if you say Bloody Mary three times, she'll appear.
Oh, okay. Now, what happens if you say...
What
happens if you say Bloody Mary, Candyman, Bloody Mary, Candyman, Bloody Mary, Candyman, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice? Then what happens?
Then they show up and do a do-si-do.
Yeah. In hell.
In hell.
Anyway,
you put these stupid effects in my voice.
The live cool, markers.
Listen.
Hell Dancer.
All right, what I didn't get to,
Michael Flatley in Hell Dancer.
That's right. Is the fact that there is a 3-panel mural painted by Maxfield Parrish.
Wow. I have no idea who that is.
No idea who that is. Because you know what, John? I went to an art museum with you and your family.
And we stared at...
You know nothing.
So what was this done with? Crayons? Cray paper? What's going on here?
It was, John, it was an installation of Woolly Willies where you used the magnet to move around the guy's beard.
Well, see, it was the Dolly Museum,
oh
so it very
God,
well could have been
love
that.
Woolly Willies. Those are awesome, Woolly Willies.
We'll dance your soul apart.
We have eternity to know your rhythm.
Roberta!
Roberta, what are you doing a new version of A Streetcar Named Desire? What are you doing over there?
Come here!
The various names that were thrown out before Stella was chosen. Frederica! Janet!
A streetcar named Desire making its way to the land of make-believe.
Yes. Oh my god, Lady Lane Fairchild! Roberta, come here a minute. No, can you take a photo with this camera? No, I have it right here.
You're posing with a camera? What?
Something like that.
Okay, well, while you're doing that, I need to take care of this one thing. There we go.
Hey, listen. Oh, well, I'm going to send you this photo. Yeah, include the menorah. Oh, turn it around.
Include the menorah? What?
We have a menorah. I have a cool setup. I have a cool setup. I will post it.
Okay. Is it as cool as Dr. Dreidel? Because that made my day.
Yes.
That made my entire day. Well, that and my new house guest.
Who's your new house guest?
Tinsel Pig is here.
Oh, really?
Light. Zach, we're working on, you know, proper lighting. Ambiances here.
I'm sorry, did you say ambiances here, or did you say on and Beyonce's here? I can't.
On and Beyonce is here, yes, for, you know.
For Chicanica?
For Chicanica. Okay, I will post this. I will send this. It's awesome.
Wasn't that the detective Charlie Chicanica who?
Oh my God! Yes, it's Hanukkah, Charlie Brown. I have the best setup ever.
Okay, so what is you've got a menorah, and you've got I'm assuming like a bull's head to celebrate ball, and
Oh no, we forgot that. Zach, do you have a bullhead? You know. Oh my god, yes, you have that moose head. Can we borrow that, please?
Holy shit.
Yes, that.
Yes that.
Thank you. Here, John, see, this is what we got, moose head.
Yes, have some.
Nice.
Yes, so
that'll do. So you know what it is? It's the Canadian celebration of ball.
It is. So yes, we have dreidel. We have an Invader Zim white Christmas tree. We have nice. A menorah. We have a Hanukkah cookbook. We have the Hanukkah fable for Christmas, and we have the 'Twas the Night Before Christmas book. So all my recommendations from a couple of weeks ago are making a playback.
this is like the best of episode for the year.
It is.
Oh. So yeah, I gotta wait till everybody gets on, and then I need to ask a question about.
Are they waiting for you know? Is this like the last night of whatever that show is?
No. Shield's had its mid-season finale.
Oh, okay.
Which bummed me out.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Did the ending bummed you out, or the fact that it's not coming back for a month or so?
The change of personnel, shall we say?
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
Because I liked him. He was awesome.
I liked Tim, too.
Tim Matheson. You know that guy who was in Burn Notice? And Animal House.
Where is everybody?
I don't know, but I need to ask something about which pretty much everyone on this podcast will be better at than I am.
There's Scott.
Scott's here.
Except maybe Scott.
Don't ask Scott.
Don't ask, don't tell Scott.
I don't know. I don't know what Scott. I don't know. I'm not asking you anything. I know nothing.
So how is Tinsel Pig enjoying his new home?
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Tinsel Pig.
Tinsel Pig today. Tinsel pig, pig.
That's horrible. All I know is that so far my Christmas brain is holding out. It's Tinsel Pig versus Christmas brain with my Christmas spirit in the balance.
Let Tinsel Pig win.
Hey. You know, I think Rox would agree with me that generally a menacing floating brain needs to win just by default.
Oh my god, yeah. Is that Donovan's brain with a wreath?
No, but that would be awesome. I mean, it's the brain from Planet Eros, and I wanted to get I need to Photoshop a Santa hat on it.
Oh, the head that wouldn't die would be good too.
They saved Hitler's brain. There you go.
A little Santa hat. That would be good. Fiend without a face. Okay, let's talk brains with hats on it. Fiend without a face.
Fiend without a face.
I like that one, especially when they were, you know, they would, take a hatchet to them, and then we'd like, you know, when they hit them, they would splurt out jelly.
Oh yeah, hey, we could have a band and call them Brains Without Hats.
You can't dance if you want to.
No, you can't.
You can't even try to dance if you wanted to.
Sucks.
Who the hell cares what your friends are doing?
All right, Widge, I sent you the Spaz House Annex studio.
There's something in formaldehyde tonight. Oh, Lord. No, we could do William and Mary, that Roald Dahl story.
Ooh,
that's
yeah.
been like made 3 or 4 times. I think we posted it this year.
Okay,
Spaz House Annex.
Which I've been waiting till the last.
Oh my god! Where's the moose head?
Oh, I'll have to send you the other one. I had to take that separately.
That is an insane. Dear listeners, you will see this. It looks. You look like you're hosting a cable access show.
I know, doesn't it?
It's like,
oh my god!
Ah, hi, neighbors. Welcome to the Spaz House Holiday Fun Farm.
It is.
What in God's name is on the wall behind you?
This is the best part. Go ahead, okay. Rox.
All right. This is a painting done by the Orange County Chopper Company. All right. The Orange Chopper Company, you know, that make custom choppers, you know, motorcycles.
Oh, okay. Motorcycles.
Not helicopters.
Yeah,
no, not helicopters.
They used to have a reality show. I can't remember what their show was. It was called Chopper, wasn't it?
I think it was called Chopping the Choppers.
Whatever. It was, you know, dad and hating gang. Son hating the dad. Well, anyway, there's another son, Mikey. He's the slacker child.
He usually likes everything.
Nobody liked it. But oddly enough, everybody liked Mikey. There is a place nearby called Pine Bush. Pine Bush during the 80s was the UFO capital of New York State. Okay, so every year they actually have a UFO. Is it a UFO parade, Zach?
Yes.
The Pine Bush was my porn name, by the way.
Yes, they have a parade. So Roberta took
more
Zach
like Balsa,
and they had an art show, and Mikey. Of this chopper company, whatever.
More like Redwood Bush.
Painted this alien head with another alien head.
Particle
and he
board.
And he goes by the name Wolfgang. And she got this gem for $10.
A whole $10, Rich.
So the thing is since last time, Rob said that this place looked like the 70s. We made sure we jazzed everything up for tonight.
It's pretty jazzy.
It is. It's all festive.
Okay, so
speaking of which, what's that?
Okay, so Widge, I've been waiting.
And as Rob says, hello, 1974.
There you go. I've been waiting for the last episode of the year to break out the Duvel, Triple Hop Special Edition. So.
Oh wow!
It's a special edition tonight.
Yeah, I don't like the crazy hoppy stuff. So rock on with your bad self. I'm just going with a standard Sam Adams Oktoberfest. One of my last bottles from the case.
Oh no! Is that it? Is there like a black market for that stuff?
No, I mean you gotta drink it before too long because you don't want it to sit around too long. Oh,
yeah,
rocks.
That evolves into this like gray evil like organism.
Yes, exactly.
That and eats you.
Yes, it's a very bad thing. It's a totally new Grey Goo scenario. So Rox, I know something that we need to do. I think it's going to be next March. Okay. I heard about this from John Stewart, both on his Bugle podcast, and I did go see him when he was here in town. And apparently, it's called a Norwegian guy took his recently deceased grandfather to the U.S. To try to cryogenically freeze the grandfather. And so finally wound up settling in Nederland, Colorado.
Right.
And basically he got deported, but his mom was still there and kept the body cryogenically frozen in a shack behind her house. So eventually when she got evicted, basically, from her house, they found the frozen dead guy, and as a result, there are, since 2002, there have been an annual Frozen Dead Guy Day festival, which have coffin races, look-alike contests, and as he pointed out, like a frozen dead guy ice cream, which is fruit flavored blue ice cream mixed with sour gummy worms.
Wow.
They have an entire festival built around the fact that someone snuck a dead guy and froze him in their town.
Okay, is it it's you said March?
Yeah. It was March this year, so I'm assuming it'll be around the same time next year.
Where?
Wow, so you can go sledding in a coffin. How cool.
Where is this?
It's in Colorado.
Hey, you can Isaac. Maybe he can put you up.
Yeah.
And you can be stoned while you go to this thing.
Oh my god.
I'm sure that helps.
We need to go.
Oh, there you go. March 13th through the 15th. Frozen dead in Ned in a tough shed.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's very much you, I think, Rox.
We need to go.
I mean, really, it's all of us, but still.
Please, Kickstarter, make this happen. Please, our fans.
Send us to Frozen Dead Guy Days.
Yes.
I want to review the ice cream.
Yeah.
Because why not?
Oh my god, this does look like public access. This set.
I know, I'm telling you.
show those folks that have the video on your tree.
Oh yeah, here you go. Here's our tree. Here's the tree.
You'll see it in the photo, folks, but it's a crazy all white, except for the ornaments.
It is Invader Zim themed with some Nightmare Before Christmas. We decorated it yesterday, and we have some Hanukkah books over here. We highlighted these, so I hope everyone picked up their copy of A Hanukkah Fable for Christmas, illustrated by Sid Hoff. My sister found amongst her cookery books, the Jewish Holiday Cookbook by Susan Gold Purdy. So you can cook up Mildred's Potato Kugel. Scott, get on that one. Rose Queen Simmies. All right, I will. Kraflach. And
God bless
all
you.
Sorts of cool things. Yes, thank you. Flaky pie crust. Great Grandma Sophie's potato latkes.
Was her amazing menorah in the picture?
Latkes.
Because
yes, I had to light another candle because you know we're using birthday candles and they don't last long. And today is the first day of Chanukah. And I introduced my sister to what is the the godly, what did they call it? The godly security system, which is called a mezuzah, that you put on your doorway. A mezuzah.
I thought that was a Midwest university.
I usually pay extra for that at the
People, we will relight the menorah. As you can see, this is the high-tech flame. Look at that. Fire.
Ah!
And there we go. Hanukkah, first day. Woo! Look at that. Hanukkah. Donna Hanukkah, la 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 Hanukkah. As everyone knows, I can only do the first three words of any song.
Any song,
and it all sort of comes up about the word Hanukkah. And we have a dreidel. Look at that dreidel.
Was it made out of clay?
And some almonds. No, this one's wood. And it's all.
Do you have some guilt?
You're confusing guilt, Hanukkah.
Not guilt. Guilt is what they give. John.
Yes, Widge.
Guilt.
John, you're confusing Hanukkah with Gumby. Gumby was made of clay.
Oh, Gumby, I made you out of clay. And with your little horsey, I certainly will go play.
With Pokey. What was that fish's name? Goldie? Goldie. Yeah, he had this little fish girl character. And then there were the blockheads.
Well, I remember the blockheads.
Well, then there was the little fish girl.
Fish, yeah. Girl, fish girl, fish girl, roly-poly fish
girl. I remember the fish girl.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean anything.
No.
Well... let's look this up. So while
we're waiting on folks, Rox, there's something else I had for you.
Yeah. Ooh, it's like a Hanukkah present day, isn't
it? Yes. Asette found this. It's a list of eight other legendary Christmas monsters besides Krampus.
Do you know? Oh my God! So St. Nicholas Festival up here in New York State, and they actually incorporated a Krampus this year. Where was
Krampus
it?
Is the new hotness.
Yes, up in Rhinebeck, I believe.
Well, you saw, I actually did contribute to the Kickstarter for the Krampus beer stein that I posted.
Oh, yes.
I got the unpainted one because, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so my favorite of this list is and I'm gonna butcher this name like I butcher everything else. Well, he is a butcher, so it makes sense. Per Futard, I think. I don't know. He was an evil butcher who craved eating children. He lured three boys into his butcher shop where he killed, chopped, and salted them. Then St. Nicholas came to the rescue, resurrected the boys, and took custody of him. And he is the servant of St. Nick who goes around dispensing punishment to bad children on St. Nicholas Day.
So
Santa Claus has an evil butcher in his employ.
You know that is all fictional because everyone knows you don't put salt on little boys. You put honey.
Well, because, I mean, that maybe...
Yeah, you do.
Whoa.
Whoa, wait a minute. Whoa, that went to a completely different place here.
So, there was...
Wait, what do you mean?
Oh, damn.
Ooh.
Now, which one is this person?
You mean...
Don't try to change the subject, Scott. No, wait, change the subject, Scott. Please.
Oh, yeah, I'm trying to look this up. Which one is he?
You need to put the honey on...
It puts the honey on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
I know.
It's going to get the hose no matter what.
Not that hose.
Wait a minute.
All right, so the little fish character is named Goo.
And
then
unless
there was like
I'm
a little
mistaken,
dinosaur.
That's a sexual reference.
This is going back. Circle back, people. Circle back.
I remember the dinosaur. I don't remember the fish.
His name is Prickly. Really?
So you got
Widge.
You got the Widge prickly, then the pokey, then the goo.
Prickly
you
goo.
You didn't do the best part. You didn't do what the name translates into.
Father Whipper.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I might have to use that.
Scott, you need to back away from that. It's not helping you any.
Well, you know, sometimes they like to call me daddy. I'm not going to argue with them.
Stop digging. Stop digging, Scott.
Why is it always cock with you?
Scott, you need to stop. And that laugh doesn't help.
Actually, these are a couple of the BPAL people have done a couple of cents on. I need to send her this because I think there's some she might not know about.
I didn't know about the Yule Cat.
Why is Rob not talking?
I don't know. Rob, are you there?
Rob!
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We're just checking on you.
We didn't want to have to send the elite elf team over to poke you.
No.
Or Scott.
Don't want Scott, though.
I'm beginning to think Lee fell asleep before she even got here, John.
I believe so, too.
The Christmas elf.
Done the Yule Lads. I think they've done Gryla.
Wait a minute, you did the Yule Lads?
Oh my God, Scott.
No, BPAL for cents.
Is that like One Direction?
Oh, now you're blaming somebody else. I see how it is.
Oh, Scott.
Oh, God.
So where is worse. He? Oh my God. So just so you know, we have experiments going on, and this is a Game Boy. I know you can't
skinned it.
But I didn't.
Okay.
These children here do this.
they do what? What have they done?
Well, this is a off of.
You gotta explain it. Paint a picture with your words.
Okay. Here is a perfectly good Game Boy Color system that has been taken apart.
I gotta go check because
apparently there's going to be an experiment made. Not really? Sure.
What kind of experiment are they trying to phone home? What?
I think so.
Okay.
But you know what? Steven doesn't realize he lives here. Sorry, it's not going to help.
No.
It's an intercom system.
Yeah, as long as it's not near a director.
What is Steve going to do with this? What is Steve going to do with this?
So the Game Boy Colors are going at about $70 a pop on eBay.
Oh really?
I learned this when we sold my son's Game Boy Advanced or whatever it was at the garage sale for $3, and then I went online and looked and saw that it was $70. Oh hey!
Wow.
Well, it's a good thing I looked at that now.
You should always check eBay when you sell shit. You never know.
Or Craigslist.
I do that for other things. I check that for other things.
Do you know the cool thing is it looks like I have a halo.
The TV lies. No, it lies.
You look like you're underwater, actually.
Shut up, Rob. I want to be good.
Rob.
Because Santa needs to, you know.
Yeah, there's no Santa Claus.
Santa needs to give you a job.
Whoa.
What? No.
Rob.
Hold up.
Rob, spoilers.
Rob.
Spoilers. There are some kids out there that think that they can help Santa.
Screw the kids.
If there's parents that let their children listen to this, then I'm quite disturbed and frightened for the youth of America.
Really?
Yes.
But remember, Rox does like to save Christmas.
I do, man. Yes. That's my favorite thing.
If she must, somebody has to.
And remember, Rob, on that day, her top hat grew 3 sizes. she looked like she was in a Tom Petty video.
I am going to recommend this Game Boy system. Oh, my God, it's the Game Boy system that will go to the Island of Misfit Toys.
Nobody wants a Charlie in the box.
Nobody wants a Game Boy system with tape and,
I want to be a dentist. I don't want to host a podcast. I want to be a dentist.
I'm independent. Yeah.
We watched that the other day.
Yes.
Like I said, it always occurred to me that the Island of Misfit Toys could have become Krakoa from Giant Size X-Men number one.
Okay, so, all right. So, who else watched it? Sorry. Who else
watched what?
It's Rudolph, because it's 50 years old.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm 50 years old. That's scary. Okay, so my sister watches the middles.
Rocks?
The middles.
Hey, Rocks?
Yes.
I just want to say, and I mean this as a compliment, your emotions are much more lifelike at 50 than Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Thank you. Okay, so we need to drag my sister into this one. Roberta!
People don't know that Rox is a creation.
No, we need you to come down here to talk about the modern middle show, whatever.
Rox is a creation of Rankin Bass. Not many people know that.
I know. It's about King Moonracer. Come down here.
Hey, don't be dissing King Moonracer.
I know. This is a major debate.
Makes that oligarch Santa Claus.
Really?
I like King Moonraker, where he tries to disrupt Christmas by death satellites.
If you come down here, we'll win it.
Oh, you just like it because you were the stunt double.
Does that mean Roger Moore is a Christmas elf? Because that would be awesome.
Roberta.
That would explain a lot.
Okay, well, anyway, she's not coming down.
Coward.
In this show, I know. In this show, there was a debate, okay, between two slackerheads. And one said that King Moonracer was a toy. And one that said he was not. What say ye, all need coffee-ishy people?
Well, I would open that to a larger debate that if King Moonracer is a toy and therefore not the leader of the Island of Misfit Toys, then the same could be said about King Friday the 13th, in that he is a toy and not a leader of a kingdom.
I would say that he's probably just an Aslan action figure from those really crappy Narnia films.
He's a badass.
No, hang on. Now, the toy was from the Narnia. The Narnia films were lame. I'm not saying that the toy did not turn out to be awesome. I'm saying, because remember, there are so many films that the best thing we can say about them is they either gave us a great soundtrack or great action figures. So I'm not putting down King Moonracer. I'm just making a guess as to what sort of toy he might be, because, you know, Winged Lion, a little unique.
I say he was not a toy.
I'm with you on that. And for God's sakes, his friend's a cowboy who rides an ostrich. How cool is that?
I know. I ride an ostrich.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Look at this candle. Ooh, it's gonna die. It's going to die. Ooh, Hanukkah. All right. All right, Scott, you've seen the show.
Yeah.
Bring in.
I'm going to say toy.
Why?
No, we're talking about King Moonracer, not you.
I want to be a real boy, is what Scott
said. I'm not touching that. Not touching it.
Okay, I'll go there. Hey, Scott. Hey, Scott.
What?
Hermit the Elf, would you?
Oh, wow.
Damn. I'm not. I like guys with a bit more heft to them.
So
UConn Cornelius.
UConn Cornelius.
Oh yeah, he's got that whole lumber sexual thing going.
He's a bear.
He's got that whole lumber sexual thing.
Yeah. What is the deal with that?
I don't know.
So
lumber sexual.
So would then UConn Cornelius and the Abominable be like partners?
Ooh. Oh.
Well. That's a good question. What jurisdiction is the North Pole?
Didn't they call it Christmas Town, right?
Yeah, they did.
No, because that would mean that Doctor Who would spend a few centuries there boring the shit out of all of us.
Hey now.
Hey, don't dream it's over.
Scott, you want the tall elf guy with the glasses.
Oh, the one that looks like Fred McMurray?
Steve. King Moon Racer, toy or not a toy?
I said toy.
Is your name Steve? Steve!
Wait.
Oh! Here.
I was thinking that was like...
From Rudolph. Come over here. Come over here. You'll be live on the internet. Come here. Come here. Yes, you do.
All your dreams have come true. You can die.
Oh, just go away. Just go. Go on. Go on.
We're not a toy.
We're not going to get an Emmy from my family.
They're wise.
All right. Fine.
What?
They're wise. Not really.
What do you think?
What? He's like, I don't know.
So here's a question. John, maybe you know this.
Nope.
So I'm looking at this ad for Xbox One. It occurs to me, is the previous Xbox known as Xbox Two, and it's older and it fought in World War II? I don't know where that came from.
No.
I don't understand.
They started the numbering over again like comic books.
The uncanny Xbox.
Oh, my God. Don't do that. Something might die off. Sorry, your system died off.
But it'll be back. Yes. We found it in a cocoon at the bottom of Jamaica Bay.
Oh, okay. So I can talk about something pertinent.
Thanks, Kurt Busiek. What?
We went to see Big Hero 6.
Oh, yeah. What'd you think?
With my family. I liked it. I liked it a lot. It's a very thoughtful film. Okay. Because of it deals with... Let Rob sit down, because that was kind of...
Oh, good Lord.
I really enjoyed it in the aspect of... They really understood grief and
so did Charlie Brown. So did Charlie Brown.
Yes. Well, no, he's suicidal, that one is.
He understood good grief.
Yes. But I really enjoyed it. It was really good. Because they actually took some of the steps that people actually do go through in losing somebody in this film. It's condensed, but they actually did show some of it. So I actually really do recommend that film.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, yeah. And that was a nice little thing for, you know, Stanley. You know, that was fun.
Yes, a great Stanley cameo.
Yes, yes.
Is that Rob? Rob, are you putting together IKEA furniture? What are you doing?
I'm fixing something.
What are you fixing?
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I was just like,
what is it?
I was getting a really loud feedback through my headphones, and I was trying to not have it distort and bleed into the actual podcast.
Well, I have this taken apart Game Boy Color I can send to you, and you can use that as parts. There's a speaker. I know there's a speaker in it.
I have enough junk in my house, Rox. I don't need.
I'm doling out somebody else's. It's not even mine.
Send it to somebody else.
Nice.
All right.
Send it to the Taliban.
I don't know. I don't have their mailing address, which is probably a good thing.
Probably a good thing, yes.
So, I like the fact off of Big Hero 6. He reminded me of Gigantor. For anybody who is old enough and understands the whole anime history. There was a giant robot that was created in 1964, 50 years old as well. A giant robot controlled by Jimmy Sparks called Gigantor. Or in Japanese, it was called Tetsujin 28 Go. A boy and his giant robot that can fly. So that reminded me. So that was a really cool thing. I'm like, oh my God, it's like Gigantor. How awesome. You know. And I really liked the cue. One of the best things I liked is when him and Baymax were sitting on one of those air filter things, and they were just looking at the sunset. And it kind of really reminded me of a Miyazaki type of thing.
Oh, yeah. Knowing John Lasseter, you can't get away from Miyazaki at this point, no. Which is fine because it's Miyazaki.
Yes, he should pay homage to that man every single film going.
I think they pretty much do.
Yes. So, anyway, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, I it was fun.
Yeah. So what does everyone think about that Let It Go song is overplayed? What is the deal with that? I have not heard it overplayed.
Well, I don't listen to the radio unless it's BBC Radio 6 these days.
And they're not playing it?
Nope.
Okay.
No, I haven't really heard it that much.
Okay.
I'm getting an echo. Where is that coming from? I'm not sure.
It's coming from your house.
Hello?
It's coming from the house, John.
That's weird.
Widge, John.
John, Widge.
It's coming from inside the house.
Yes.
So, speaking of inside the house, so fine. John, I'll ask you this, because you'll know.
All right.
So, we finally moved boldly into the 20th century.
Uh-huh.
And bought an HDTV.
Ooh.
Ooh. What did you do with your... Did the old one finally die?
Yeah, it was turning pink rapidly.
Ooh.
Yep. But it put in a lot of good service, so... So, yes, we got a 55-inch LCD Vizio, which is really... When it's working great, it works awesome. And we figured out, hey, if you play on your 1080p television a 1080p film that was shot in HD on your 1080p Blu-ray player, it looks amazing.
Yes, it does.
Everything else looks like shit.
Mm.
Including, like, Inception on your 1080p Blu-ray player running at 1080p on your 1080p television. So yeah, the stuff HD, like Guardians or Avengers, looks amazing. But Inception looks like a grainy piece of shit.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't noticed that, unfortunately. Or fortunately.
Yeah, it's what's odd is when it was on, because my 1080p Blu-ray player is a Samsung, mm-hmm. and I tried to switch it back out for my Panasonic, but my Panasonic is a 1080i, and my
Samsung. Oh, it's
Good night.
Hey, Will.
Jeez.
Hey, well.
I looked up at my. I was having some cheese and crackers and some beer, and then I looked up at my video feed, and there was a head behind me.
I hate it when that happens.
Hmm.
Yeah, circle back. Was it had a brain, right?
I think so.
Christmas brain.
Yeah.
Have you tried?
I tried to play Avengers in my 1080i Blu-ray player. Because it sometimes chokes in my Samsung 1080p Blu-ray player because it is Samsung and Hydra.
Yeah, okay.
Everything looked great except people's faces. It couldn't deal with like the shading. If they were, you know, partly shaded a face, it could tell it couldn't deal with it. So, but. It sounds like you have no idea what the hell I'm talking about.
Well, no, I have
I have
a general idea of what you're talking about. I just think it's excuse me. Have you tried dorking around with the settings and lowering the actual resolution to like 720?
No, I have not.
Try that and see if it fixes it, because even 720 is nice. I mean, but maybe that'll fix the your issue.
Yeah, but even the stuff that's 720, if you put it at 720, it still looks like shit.
Did you, where did you get your HDMI cables from?
I have, where did I get one? I got like one from Best Buy and one I don't remember where I got it from.
Did you buy the Insignia brand? Is that what you did?
No.
Okay.
Why? Now, is this one of those things where it actually matters what HDMI cable you get? Because some cables,
it
actually doesn't fucking matter.
The only thing that it matters from is, I believe, the versioning. That's the only thing that it matters.
The versioning?
Yeah, I think there's a version 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
I have to look up on Wikipedia. But there's a... What the... No, okay. Jeez. All right.
She wasn't even sneaking in.
Love you.
Well, except I saw floating around behind me all of a sudden this head.
Good God.
People are all maniacs.
All right. There we go.
I see what you mean. So apparently...
Okay, you looked it up.
You have to make sure you have a 1.3 or higher cable to get deep color, whatever the fuck that is.
It's my Deep Purple cover band.
Oh, I see.
But no, yeah, there's different versions for the cables, so.
Yeah, but it looks like version 2 is what you need if you're going to do, like, Ultra HD 4K resolution. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, looks sexy as hell, but is also $5,000. There are limits to sexiness.
Scott knows.
I happen to put on Facebook that we may need a place to stay in March, and Isaac responded, "I wouldn't let any of you into my house." So fuck him. Fuck him.
He's a very smart man.
Can you blame him?
Well, no, but he could have been a bit more diplomatic about it. You know, use some tact.
Why? When have we ever used tact?
He could have just replied, "I'm out of town at that time."
Yes, yeah. I'm out of the country.
Scott, I didn't tell you what it was.
I have any room for the conversation with the word tact in it.
I can be very tactful if required.
When was the last time that was required? So. 1986?
Job interviews. That's when you need to be tactful.
Oh, is that my problem?
Yes. Among many.
Yeah, so I have many. I will not deny that.
Got rid of the Samsung that was malfunctioning and turning out pink?
No, it wasn't a Samsung. The TV was a Sony.
Okay.
It was a Sony that lasted pink. Yeah, it lasted like 9 years, which
so. Did you somehow transfer all that pink into the Tinsel Pig?
No, the Tinsel Pig
just came
that way. No, Tinsel Pig just came that way.
Hmm.
He's pink naturally.
The Tinsel Pig comes pink?
Yes, it's very, very pink.
Swimming in pink?
And unless I am not mistaken, that's a sexual reference?
No, Robo Dan, it is not. It really is not.
Could be.
Don't need light up sparkly bacon. No.
Now that's just rude, comparing your pig to Twilight.
And let's not even talk about porking.
All right,
or squeal like a pig for me.
Squeal like a pig. Okay, so I just talked to my sister.
Okay. Are we pleased or frightened?
Here's something interesting. Out of getting back to the Rudolph thing, have you noticed that only on the island of misfit toys are the toys sentient?
Yes.
Yeah. So you want a toy from Misfit Island.
No, you don't. I mean,
they're possessed.
Yeah, wait a minute. Most of the time, I mean, I've seen Puppet Master. I've seen, you know, Chucky. I mean, most of the time...
Yeah.
Yeah, Battleground by Stephen King. Most of the time when toys come to life, it's not good unless you're in a Pixar film.
Well, then you have to have a badass such as King Moonracer to keep all of their crazy in check.
And then
so get this, it was King Moonracer's evil plan to get Santa to take his army and infiltrate the world with his Misfit toys. So Rudolph is yet a better film for invasion.
Yep, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Makes total sense.
Yep. So King Moonracer is actually a now Bond villain.
Oh, that would be great.
Wouldn't that?
Andrew Scott is the voice of King Moonracer in Spectre.
Yes.
I'm all over that shit.
Did you see that they stole the script for Spectre? Them there.
Along with everything else.
The what?
They stole the script for Spectre, they being the... Well, now there's some debate. Now it's pointing to an inside job, but we'll just say North Korea.
Oh, Sony thing?
Yeah, we'll say North Korea for right now.
Okay, so basically somebody hacked in and stole the script?
Yeah. You are aware that Sony's been hacked, right?
Yeah, I knew that part, but I did not know that the Spectre script was among the things. Is it just known to be out, or is it out?
It is in the wild.
Really?
Yeah.
So has anyone confirmed it?
Real?
The Sony has confirmed it as being missing.
Okay, here's
although
the
I don't know why it's really missing.
It,
it's digital.
Is it any good?
I don't know.
Oh, it is a draft script is what I'm seeing, an early draft.
Yeah.
So, Widge, get on to reading that and let us know if it's any good.
I want to make it real. I want it to be a real script.
Oh, okay. So you alluded to 2 weeks ago that you're unhappy with Gotham.
Yes.
Okay, why?
Well, because, I mean, apart from what's-her-face, Betsy or whatever the girlfriend is, who is just a ridiculous character.
Barbara,
whose last name is Keen, just like Lizzie in The Blacklist. So I'm convinced they're related. But it was just the episode where they broke the bomb guy out of prison.
Oh, okay.
There was so much stupid shit happening. Like, here's a great idea. Let's stay subtle and make sure we keep him in his prison garb so that from a distance you can tell that he's an escaped convict. I'm like, really? Really? You're not even going to... I mean, I know to do that.
Give the man a polo shirt.
Anything. It's just little things like that that were so dumb to the point where it was almost like Adam West Batman silly. You know what I mean?
Ooh.
Yeah.
And my problem is this. I'm not one of these people who's pissed because, Gordon never investigated the death of Bruce Wayne. But I'm like, look, you cannot read comics. You cannot enjoy DC or Marvel comics and get bent out of shape about a particular iteration of the character because there's been 15,000 of them.
Right.
And they've already established that they have a multiverse in which they can do anything. So this is just another version of the character. This is Earth G or some shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm like, you need a consistent, you know, Adam West Batman worked because it was consistently goofy and silly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Tim Burton Batman, when it did work, I mean, for the most part, the Burton Batmans worked, but they were consistently Burton-esque. Mm-hmm. And they are sort of in that arena because, I mean, Taylor has mentioned that he's sort of basing the Penguin off of Danny DeVito's Penguin from a feel standpoint, and the girl they've got playing Catwoman or Selina looks a lot like a young Michelle Pfeiffer at times.
Mm-hmm.
So, but just where it's inconsistently, well, now we're grim and gritty. Well, now we're sort of silly. Well, now we're this. Well, now we're that. It's like, no, you need to establish, create a universe.
I think
you
just gave them their theme song.
What?
Sometimes we're grim and gritty. Sometimes we're just damn silly. Da 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 da.
Wow.
Da 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 da. Oh, Jesus.
You said it.
Welcome to the Weekend Justice public access show.
But no, I just... It just, Jada Pinkett and Taylor can only take me so far before I need the rest of the show to catch up and do something. And I just feel like...
So do you think if they concentrate on the whole... the mob boss mess, which I actually think is interesting.
No, I love the whole way that, spoilers, that Penguin's manipulating everything.
Yeah.
I think that's fascinating. But it's just everything else, it just isn't as good. And I'm like, I can't, you know, I gave them 8 episodes to try to get their shit together and be consistent. Mm-hmm. And I just, I'm like, oh, I'm just bored. I'm just, that one episode, it's kind of like the biological terrorist.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say the biological terrorist.
Yeah, episode of The Blacklist, which is why I said, you know, unless you're going to have your episode about a biological terrorist be about a third as tight as the VX episode of Spooks, then just don't even try.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen Spooks, which is called MI5 over here, there is an episode of that where there's a VX gas attack on London, and it is one of the most nail-biting individual episodes of anything I've ever seen. Just like, holy shit, what is happening? So,
yeah.
But no, I just ran out of patience.
Right.
And it's like The Blacklist. I'll just wait, and someone will create a YouTube video with like 20 minutes of all the Penguin stuff from season 1, and I'll just watch that and enjoy it and get
all right,
what I
then
need.
Then when I need to tell you this and take it for whatever it's worth,
okay.
Skip season 5 of Boardwalk.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Wow. Okay. Can you, without giving any too much away, can you just tell me sort of high level why?
When the entire
Nookie
season,
is a Transformer,
of which there's only 8 episodes,
right,
is trying to create a back history for Nookie and trying to bridge how to end it all. It was almost everybody was phoning everything in.
Really?
Writing. Yeah. I talked to my other sister, who is a big fan, and they actually binged the 4 seasons so that they can catch up to the 5th season. And we're just like, what? How did, you know, even the ending, you're like, wait a minute, how did that happen? Oh, yeah, well, I mean, it was doing a lot of that. And the way they tied stuff up, you're like, you know, it was almost like, okay, we'll give you 8 episodes and we'll just mash it all together like, you know, mashed potatoes with peas. It was, just skip it. Just leave on the note of the 4th season and just,
wow.
And just not bother.
Wow.
And you will thank me.
Okay. Well, although the the character,
even all the, it's like the Margaret character was half-assed written. Rothstein didn't, there was no, oh, he died off scene, spoiler. It was just a mess all the way around.
Well, what's the guy's name, the slimy guy that they finally asked, like in season 3, why aren't you dead yet? Remember?
Oh, that one that always had that weird laugh.
Yeah.
I forget
the character's name, and now I'm afraid to look it up. But basically, I did have an idea that would laugh my ass off if at the end, you know, the series ended with him with his feet up behind Nucky's desk, having taken everybody else out.
No.
And, damn.
Yeah, no.
But I did love that because where Eli basically goes, why aren't you dead?
Yeah.
and we all – and see, what I love about that is we all know somebody like that.
Yeah.
Where, you know, somebody you work with where you go, how are you still here?
Yeah. I mean, even when you think, like, Chalky White, how he'll, you know, how his story goes, you're just like, huh? So basically, stick with season four.
Wow.
Yeah. And if you want to delve into that, you go on upon it at your own risk.
Okay. Okay, I have been duly warned.
I have been sitting on this, and I'm like, huh, you know, of bringing it up, and it is very lacking.
Huh.
I mean, well, as far as how something should end, and it just, which is funny because I think, as we have seen with HBO and the history of what HBO does with shows, I could only hope that they don't screw with Game of Thrones this way. But I mean, shows have done this, you know, people have screwed with popular shows in the past.
Hmm.
Because apparently the rumor was, you know, the showrunner writer for Boardwalk's like, okay, I'm bored with this. Literally.
Hmm.
You know, it's like, let's just tie it all up, give them 8 episodes, and be done.
You mean kind of like they did with Warehouse 13?
Yeah, well, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of prequel comic book series that'll probably suck, did you guys hear about Krypton?
The show Krypton?
No.
Yeah, I've heard about it. Is that what was it that they called for a pilot or what?
Well, I don't know how far they've gone with it, but essentially it's going to be based on Krypton during Superman's grandfather's time. Woohoo.
Well, now, but see, here's the thing. I mean, just like Gotham, the story of Gotham on its own isn't a bad idea. I don't think that's a bad idea. You could do some stuff with that. You could, but I doubt they will.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's my thing. It's like, yeah, but it's probably going to be another Gotham that's going to be an interesting idea, but totally unsatisfying.
Oh, well.
Wasn't Krypton kind of like Boring Land? I mean...
Yes, that's the other thing.
What?
Well, the thing is...
No, John made a noise. Wait, John made a noise.
That was just me being old and creaking.
Oh.
And clearing my throat.
But I mean, the thing about Krypton, I mean, from what I remember, you know, it was just like, I don't know. I mean...
The only thing that's interesting that I can remember is the whole General Zod stuff, and that happened with Superman's dad, not his granddad, so I don't know what they're going to do.
Hmm. It always reminds me of, you know, of Things to Come, that play, you know, that movie.
Yeah.
That's what reminds me of, you know, Krypton. Kind of boring. Boring and, you know, weirdly sci-fi-y, just in clothes.
You know, that's what blew it up. That's what actually
really
blew it
well.
You know, that's what blew it up. They were so boring that all the fun sort of built up, and it just exploded everything, and they couldn't handle all the fun.
I mean, if they were so smart and everything, you know.
Yeah, that's always been a question.
Mm-hmm.
They've tried answering it, but not really that well.
Yeah. It's like Atlantis. It's like the people of Atlantis, and then it sinks. Shalom.
Shalom.
That's David S. Goyer, who has a...
Yeah, it's going to die.
Checkered, yeah, he writes everything. What's that?
He writes everything.
Yeah,
oh, my God. Okay. What? So I haven't seen it, but has anyone seen that Peter Pan with Christopher Walken?
No.
Oh. Was it bad? Does anyone know?
I can't imagine it was good.
Thank you.
I've heard generally not great reviews, because the thing is, it's not... I mean, the stuff they did, it was great for like 1960, and they pretty much did mostly that, but it's 2014, you need more.
You know, is it Batman versus Superman, or is it actually called Batman v Superman?
Batman v Superman.
Yep.
So, I call it Who Gives a Fuck.
Well, Rob, what I want is the prequel, which is Batman IV Superman, called Midnight of Justice.
Nice.
Wait, so the villain's going to be Poison Ivy?
Ba-dum-bum. Da 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 da. Hey, da 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 da.
Scott, you're a sad, strange little man, and you have my pity.
Fuck you.
There we go. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Happy Krampus. Oh, Jesus.
Yes, that's what this season is about, Widge.
No, it's about burlap Christmas wreaths. That's
yes.
Burlap.
And strange demons whipping you.
That's what I figured out. Well, maybe whipping you, Mr. Helper. So shall we do introductions then? Since it'll be our last introduction of
really?
The year.
Oh my God, we haven't done introductions in like, I don't know, five episodes.
No, we have. We've basically been alternating episodes.
Have we?
But yeah.
At this point, if they don't know who we are, then
Well, we should do one to close out the year.
But they don't care.
But they do in their hearts, Rob.
Know it's introduction time.
Probably not.
I am rocks. Yes.
Send us your fucking money.
Yeah.
You know what's great about the new version of Do They Know It's Christmas?
Which I haven't heard, but go ahead.
Nothing.
All right, so let's go ahead and do introductions, and we'll do them starting now.
We've seen you staggering out of the work week, but now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a needcoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home. Stand by for Weekend Justice.
Weekend Justice. It's the Weekend Justice League here in the Hall of Weekend Justice.
It's a good thing that we're going out like we came in.
Wow. Okay, is that part of the show?
It is.
Yes.
While we're waiting.
No!
Widge is back.
What?
Yes, okay. Warhol.
Why is there two widgets?
We don't.
Oh my God! It's a barrel.
It's the timeline continuum has just.
We can't, oh Christ, we can't maintain two widgets.
No, it's a Warhol widge.
What is happening? All right.
Which widge is the right widge? Oh, one widge left. Yeah, two widge enter, one widge leave.
Two widge enter, one widge leave. Yeah, Chrome just out of the blue died. Thanks, Chrome. So
yeah,
we're here.
I did that for me too.
We're here in the Hall of Weekend Justice with the Weekend Justice League, and I will endeavor to introduce them going from my right to your left. We have Scott Sears with us. Hello, Scott.
Hey.
Hey. We have Rox coming to you live from Cable Accessville. Hi, Rox.
I am number one.
Who is number six? No, wait, that's me. We also have Rob is with us. Hi, Rob.
Oh, Santa, please find a home for all of our misfit toys.
I got a rock. And we also have John Boutel from the Neat Geek. Hi, John.
Hey, Jem was in a commercial.
You know, that frightened me for a minute, because for a second, I didn't realize what that was, and I thought John was playing It's Raining Men, which frightened me terribly.
And yes, Jem was in a commercial. We have.
I'm gonna
say that we have successfully brought Jem back to life. We have given her a new career. Applause for us. Yes.
I'm so sorry. What? Yes.
Hey, Witch.
Yeah.
You know what's great about Jem being in a commercial?
What's that?
Nothing.
The same thing about that stupid Christmas thing.
I guess, you know, we did have a moratorium on bringing back, you know, past products like the Burger King. I don't think they're going to let us go after bringing back Jem.
The Yumbo.
What?
Nothing. Then they should have, like, the Easy Bake Oven in a commercial.
See, I don't remember.
To sell cars.
Rox, do you remember the Yumbo?
No, what is the Yumbo?
From Burger King.
Burger King thing from the 70s. I don't think
it's a ham and cheese breakfast thing.
I don't know. I'm looking around in the hall of 1974, and I don't see one.
That's awesome.
A hot ham and cheese sandwich. Okay.
Sorry, you got to say it like this, Widge.
Savory black forest ham with American cheese. Okay, that's already bad.
Ew.
Crisp lettuce, I doubt it, and creamy mayo. Disgusting. So basically, this is just so they can get rid of all the hoagie buns they're not using on their original chicken sandwiches.
And I actually
no, they were the McRib buns they bought from McDonald's. Oh my God, I actually tried a McRib once just recently.
Oh, what do you really? Wait, hang on.
You're
what?
A grown woman, right?
No, wait. What do you mean recently? Now, in the distant past, when we didn't know any better, I would expect that. Now, were you simply trying to sample the evil? Is that what was going on?
I have a gaming friend. His name is Ron, not Ron Methvin, but another Ron. Anyway, he would extol the virtues of the mouthfeel of the McRib when it would come out every year. Oh, I had to get one. It was a McRib, and he would post it on Facebook and stuff. So I was, where were we? I was with my sister Erica. No, I was with my sister Erica, and she was picking me up from Panera, and she's like, "Do you want something to eat?" I'm like, "Well, I was just at Panera." Anyway. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Is that her normal reaction to picking up someone with Panera? I know you didn't eat anything there because it's Panera.
Yes. Well, we're not even going to talk about that. That's not even – some of that's not even edible there.
So anyway, we go through the drive-through, and I see there it is. I've never had one. Never, ever had one. So I'm like, I want one of those McRib pressed meat banquets.
Banquet. And by banquet, do you mean the company banquet that puts out the frozen dinners? Because that's the only way it would be a banquet.
It could be done by them, and they just buy them from them.
Rox, let me just say, I wouldn't describe it as a mouth feel, more like a mouth molestation.
And not in a good way.
I ate one eons ago, and I still remember.
You must have eaten one when they were good.
No, there was no good. There was That was never a good, Rox. There was never a good.
No, I know. I agree with you.
Holy God.
Yes.
I still remember what that – like, okay, you know, ask me, hey, Widge, what was it like to eat at Burger Chef? I don't remember.
Do you?
Because I don't. Now, I remember what it was like, but I don't remember, like, the taste has not lingered on. Just like with Rob, see if you remember this one, Wiener King. There used to be a Wiener King.
We never had those here.
Yep. So I don't remember that either. There's lots of things I don't remember about eating. But one thing I do remember that I cannot wash away from my brain, no matter how much whiskey I throw at it, is the mouth groping that a McRib does. It's not fun.
It's that pressed, like, fake bone structure thing.
Show me on your mouth where the bad sandwich touched you.
So in mathematical terms,
yeah,
McRib is to mouth as tear gas is to eyes.
No, because that would imply that you were drooling and you were salivating for it, like you would be crying from tear gas, and actually it just sort of sucks in all the moisture in your mouth. And you're left going, what am I supposed to do with this? It's horrible. It is horrible.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, Rox.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, look at it this way, Rox. Sometimes all you can do is serve as a cautionary tale.
It is.
That's basically how I live my life.
Now, Rox, have you had a Whopper yet?
No. Uh-uh.
Okay.
You know, there is a Burger King near where I live, and it's sort of funny. When I do go, and if it's after 5 o'clock, the shake machine breaks down after 5 o'clock every day.
Well, of course.
They just don't want to make them. It's like, no, it's broken. I was here yesterday and it was
because what's hilarious is they're just, it's not like they have to do anything. It's like they just open up a spigot and it comes out into a cup. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, at least at Chick-fil-A, you know, Jesus makes them run it through a mixer.
Jesus makes it run.
Whoa.
Chick-fil-A, we're bringing you the head of John the Baptist, actually happens.
That's...
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. I go to prepare a place for you.
Yes.
Have you had White Castle?
Uh-huh.
White Castle.
Okay. All right. Yum. Let's get to that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, if we really want opinion on fast food, really should be talking to Serve.
Oh, he just goes to Moe's.
Not anymore.
Yeah, I had a Moe's burrito as part of my birthday free for all, and it was. Basically, I finally just sort of tore it open and used it, like, you know, to dip chips into, because it wasn't very good.
Mm. Oh, Witch, good call on the Denny's, by the way.
Oh, my God. What did you do? You didn't go to a Denny's, did you?
I didn't. I just said no.
Oh, thank God. Oh.
Hey, there went Janet.
Yeah, because I said...
there goes my Janet.
What?
I said, hey, I
was watching her show.
Yeah.
For breakfast. And Janet's like, really? I'm like, no. So we went to this other place instead.
That's Rob's answer for 2014. What about this? Nothing or no.
I've been doing that nothing thing forever, but yeah.
No, I know. What was it? What is that shirt that I found that – oh, yes. The shirt that I found that says, to quote Hamlet Act 3, Scene 3, Line 92, no.
Just no.
I like it.
Nice. You know who loves this is from the useless radio show file. Do you know who loves McDonald's cheeseburgers?
Who?
Gary Newman.
Why?
Because we're doing a session at the station with Gary Newman. And his wife's like, is there a McDonald's near here? And we're like, well, no. She's like, well, we'll find one on the bus. And I said, what? And she's like, he loves to go to McDonald's and get the cheeseburgers with nothing on them. And he has to stop when he sees a McDonald's and get one. And I'm just like, Gary Newman? Really?
Wow.
So it was just a lot, yeah.
Well, Rob, I mean, that would explain I think the feeling after you eat a McDonald's cheeseburger would explain his song Here in the Black.
Well, he better hurry up because McDonald's is having a bunch of problems.
Well, they're getting rid of a bunch of menu items, which is probably good. So.
Yeah, they've lost a lot of market share.
No more quarter pounder.
No, I think they're keeping that.
Well, they're basically doing away with the quarter pounder, and they're making a double eighth of a pounder.
Yeah.
For people who don't know Matt.
Yeah, it's actually Grimace.
They're doing away with the St. Patrick's Day milkshake. That's what they're doing.
No!
I'm kidding. I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so what are they getting rid of?
Well, not the McRib now that Rox has had one.
That's true.
I think they're getting rid of the quarter pounder.
They're not getting rid of the quarter pounder.
No! Sorry, autoplay. God damn it,
you'll just call it something else because you know they're going to scrimp on the meat.
No, because they get rid of it. They can bring it back later for a limited time, and you know.
That's true. Now, what about the – what you need, though, is you need to have the McDonald's that have their own test things, like the McDonald's pizza, and in Germany they got the McDonald's beer – and
McDonald's. I want the McDonald's curry. I want to know what that's like.
Holy shit.
In India, they have curry at McDonald's.
Really?
Yeah.
I can imagine that's pretty awful.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, you wouldn't get curry at a McDonald's for the same reason you don't buy chili at a Wendy's, because you know it's just all the ground up hamburgers they haven't sold for the last 2 days. I mean, I'm just saying.
Or it's Dave Thomas.
Oh, ho, ho. Wow. Not that it's too soon, but just wow.
Well, the extra crispy recipe from Kentucky Fried Chicken is actually the kernel. It's little bits of his skin.
Oh, God!
Sprinkled upon chicken.
Oh, God.
Hey, I'm a fat guy. I know about food.
Most folks have heard about it. Sounds good. Sorry, I've heard that sample too many times thanks to Mr. Bungle. Thanks, Mr. Bungle!
You're welcome.
So, oh, God. So has everyone seen the mid-season finale of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that is watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
So, thoughts?
It was freaking fantastic.
Yes.
It was excellent. I mean, we've got Inhumans. I did not realize that we were dealing – spoilers, by the way. I did not realize we were dealing with Kyle MacLachlan as Mr. Hyde, which is fucking crazy. Because I didn't know he had a daughter in the comics. So, but then again, you know, I don't keep up with that shit. But like I said, John, I'm really bummed that we lost Trip.
Spoiler.
Oh yeah, I already said spoiler, but spoiler.
Well, I'm saying spoiler and the spoiler.
Spoiler and spoiler.
But isn't he going to be doing, isn't he going to something else?
Well, hopefully. I mean,
I assume he's a working actor. Yes,
I thought that was the reason that he got killed was because he's actually they didn't just, you know, that he's moving on to something else.
I haven't heard of anything, but that's possible. I will look it up. But
we're gonna play the looking up Widge music now.
No, I mean I could keep talking, but. Let's see. Well, he apparently is in – there's a show called Being Mary Jane. I have no idea what that is. He is apparently in that.
Takes place in Portland.
And
or Boulder, Colorado.
Yeah, there too.
And is this the sequel to 10 Things I Hate About You, 10 Things I Hate About Life? I don't know. He's announced for that. But no. I don't know. I just really enjoyed the character, but I'm glad we still have Mac. So
I was a little disappointed.
Oh yeah,
by
I guess
the,
we do have Mac, don't we? Yeah.
City in the Temple. I wish they'd done something more with that to make it more like, you know, grand and epic and shit.
Right, because
all we saw was a stone corridor and a stone circular room, and that was about it.
It's a TV show. They don't have a huge budget.
And on top of that, if there was this huge elaborate city where anyone could see it, don't you think there would be people that have mentioned it before?
No, yeah, they could have done shit underground and still be.
Well, yeah, I think that's where they usually shit is underground.
What?
So, do you understand what I mean, Widge?
Not often.
No, I don't. When they
found the temple, it would have been nice if it was a bit more elaborate and a bit more, because we've been talking about this city for
two episodes. Because they only found it two episodes prior.
Well, but Scott's point is well taken, that they've been going towards this since for the entire half of the season. So I mean, I take your point, but I mean, I was more. First of all, they obviously went to the Doctor Who school of set dressing, so I mean, that's cool.
Mm. Yes,
but no, I mean, I was fine with the episode. They had me engaged enough with the characters and trying to figure out what was going on that I honestly didn't think about. Oh well, wasn't much of a city until much later. So.
Another thing I want to ask everybody. How many people think Whitehall is actually dead?
Well, it's Marvel, so no one.
See?
I mean, they're talking about bringing back Hugo Weaving for Captain America 3, so...
Yeah, well, Red Skull appears, constantly throughout...
Oh, no, but I mean, it's Marvel, John, so everybody appears constantly. No, at this point, is there anyone in Marvel... who has stayed dead? Because Bucky has come back, obviously.
Coulson.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm talking about the classic characters, the ones that they said they never come back. I mean, because Uncle Ben even came back at some point, right?
Yes, he had to make the rice.
Oh, God. It hurts.
Where was I? I was going to say something, goddammit. Shit, I completely lost my... I was going to say something, goddammit, now I forgot. Damn it. Go on.
Oh, we'll wait for you.
Yeah, no, we'll wait. No pressure. No, so they've said, yeah, this is Inhumans, so we're doing the Inhuman thing, which I think is interesting because we don't know what happened to Reyna. I mean, we know something happened, but we don't know exactly what her deal is.
Now that's something I was wondering about is, do you think they're going to try something completely new with her or try to map her to another Marvel comic character?
It could go either way.
See, that's something, I mean, I love that they're referencing, but I want them to try to do...
You love that they're resurfacing. What did you say?
I love that they are getting... mapping characters in the show to the comics, but it'd be nice every once in a while they try something that doesn't have any relation to the comics.
Well, I mean, didn't Coulson basically start off not in the comics? So...
Well, yeah, but the thing is, we have Sky pretty much being a Quake.
Hey, Widge, Cypher. Cypher stayed dead.
Well, he came back and was Duglock mostly, so.
Gwen Stacy?
Cypher. Not Gwen Stacy. Stacy.
Doug Rand.
Or Stacy either.
Right?
Gwen Stacy stayed dead mostly.
Now, are we counting alternate universes or what?
Actually a very good question. I don't know. So is Reyna...
Reyna has not... As far as I'm aware, they have not associated her with any known Marvel character yet.
Well, there is... Okay, well, but there is... I was just reading this on the Marvel Wiki, which is... I don't know if it's always right. There is a Reyna character, actually, who is a... who is a Saurid... and is from the Savage Land. So considering the changes that we did see her undergoing, that could be her. I don't know. But I'm good with whatever they want to do. So anyway,
it's the pause that refreshes every 15 minutes on Weekend Justice.
Yeah, pretty much. And we have Agent Carter showing up, what, January 10th, I think?
Yes. Something like that, so, yes.
So, yeah, I'm good with that.
I'm good with that, too.
You know, this is the this is something I wondered if they were going to do if Agent Carter does well enough and if Whitehall is still around and they find a way to... Do you think it'd be... Admittedly, this is Marvel and comics, so it is probably ridiculous enough to work. But do you think if Agent Carter does well enough, they'll find a way to bring her back by taking out what's making Whitehall all young and shit and putting it in her?
No.
No. I mean, I think I like the idea of exploring the Marvel universe of the past. That's sort of why I was originally bummed about hearing about Winter Soldier. Because I loved the World War II era Captain America film.
Yes.
So I like the idea of sticking with her in the past. And I mean, she's listed in the cast of Ant-Man. So they apparently do some sort of flashback with her there as well. So, I mean, I think they recognize that she's a popular character and are sticking with her. So.
But kind of having her sort of kind of isolated like Guardian of the Galaxy is, and how they're talking about like the Netflix stuff, sort of there'll be some relation but mostly off of mostly there'll be a few connections but mostly on their own.
Yeah, I think so. I because I mean they're gonna have what's his face, the guy who played Howard, I mean he obviously kicks it off with her.
Yeah.
So I think they're doing a good job of keeping it all connected,
but still keeping it kind of its own thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, and I think that's good because one of the things that I have, and this is why I almost think the Marvel Cinematic Universe is even better for Marvel than comics, because you have limitations, you have cast, you have budget, you have to make smart decisions. You can't just decide, okay, everybody, we're going to do, you know, Civil War and everyone's affected and whatever, you know, storyline you had going on, it's fucked now, sorry. You can't do that. You have to have them be connected and yet separate, because otherwise it gets completely out of control. So, and that's something Marvel has not been good at. They finally, as I understand it, and they did this some with Civil War, but not enough. If you had your own storyline going, they allowed certain books to have like a, I don't know, I don't remember if this was one that was actually, but like Fantastic Four, Civil War, 4-issue limited series, which I think they probably just did so they could put out more books. But at least you could.
No, Widge. They wouldn't do something like that. Come on.
No, never.
How dare you accuse them of such whateverness?
Reality. How dare I accuse them of acting like Marvel? But no, that is where I think the movies help them, is because they have to focus. And the other thing too is like, you know, if you have a series in comic book form that goes south, that's a hell of a lot less of an impact than, I mean, because they were constantly trying out stuff and canceling it and trying out stuff and canceling it. But, you know, they finally, if they use it smart, which is what Warner Brothers has seen DC Comics as an R&D for intellectual property for forever. But if they test the shit out in the comics and then take the stuff that really works and put that on the small screen, then I'm fine with that. Because
yeah, but the thing is that seems to be with the opposite of what, not the opposite, but it doesn't seem like Warner Brothers has learned that with their with their DC stuff is like, oh, let's do something completely different and ignore the comics completely.
They have not at all. I mean, part of the thing is that DC is They are entering. They're basically bringing a knife to a gunfight. And by that, I mean that they do not. They have been around too long, and Warner Brothers has been a movie studio for too long to think, well, we can't let these whippersnappers do this. We have to show them how it's really done. So rather than emulating the Marvel model, i.e., as we've talked about multiple times on the podcast and on Dragon Con, rather than actually taking the time to set up, what was it, 5-6 movies before you have
something like that.
Avengers?
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. They're going straight from Man of Steel, which, to my knowledge, was never meant to turn into the cinematic DCU in the same way that – well, I'll put it this way. It was always meant to be that in the same way that Blade was always meant to be a trilogy, and so was Pirates of the Caribbean.
Ooh.
And I say that because everything is a fucking trilogy. The moment something – oh, we always thought it would be a trilogy. No, you fucking didn't. There's a reason why – there's a reason why the film was not called Curse of the Black Pearl for like the first year of its development.
And also it seems like DC is wanting to do – they want to set up this weird counter-programming. It's like – they see, you know, Marvel is fun and exciting and has all this. And DC thinks, oh, we can't be that because that's their thing. We have to be our own thing. So we have to be somber and serious and have dark costumes and grim and gritty.
There's two things working against them. One is what Joss Whedon said about, you know, in Avengers. So that's what it does. You have to – we have known for centuries – that you have to have an outlet for tension. Otherwise, it will dissipate and become diffused and it won't work. There's a reason why after, what is it, like in Macbeth, after really incredibly intense scene, you have the drunk guy answering the gate or taking a long time to answer the gate because he's drunk. So you have a comedic scene after that. So the fact that they are – I mean, shit, even Nolan's Dark Knight had – humorous bits in it. I mean, it wasn't funny like Marvel comics are funny, but it did at least – Nolan at least understands that you can't be completely serious for 2.5 hours. It just doesn't work. So they have that working against them, and the fact that they still – they don't understand, as we've discussed numerous times, they don't understand why what has worked has worked. They look at the Dark Knight, the Nolan Batman universe, and they say, oh, it worked because it was serious. And, you know, Watchmen worked as a comic because it was serious, and Frank Miller's Dark Knight worked because it was serious. They don't understand that's not it. It worked because it was well-executed and well-written. It just happened to be serious. I mean, you know, that's like saying, oh, well, Shaun of the Dead worked because it had zombies and was funny. No, that's not why it worked. It worked because it had zombies and it was funny and it was well executed and well written. So I don't see how they can possibly be as successful as Marvel. I mean, they have so much momentum behind what they're doing with the DCCU that I'm sure I don't see. The other problem with Warner Brothers is like Man of Steel. All of their movies like that, they have crazy expectations for them box office wise. Now, I can understand where with Superman Returns that it was never going to make enough money because that film was basically having to pay off 10 years of development, you know, including
and
all these
pay off all the other bombs they had.
But even beyond that, just like, you know, the fact that Nicolas Cage and Tim Burton had pay or play contracts. They got paid even though the movie never got made, which is nice. And that's millions of dollars right there. So, you know, they always look at it. They sink too much money into it and go at it the wrong way and therefore are always disappointed. So, I understand people are enjoying Arrow, which the bits of it I've seen, I couldn't get into. And The Flash, I understand people are geek-gasming out about The Flash, which I, you know, I saw that about. I saw the pilot of that, and I thought, meh, that's all right. But, and like Gotham, but I mean, the TV-wise, they're not, I mean, Constantine is gone. So
is it really gone, or is it just not long for this world?
Well, it's got 13 episodes, and that's it. I understand they've shut down production.
But my understanding, though, is that they haven't given anybody any notice that that's actually happened. In other words, they know that there's only 13 episodes that they're ordering right now, but they're also leaving it open to more. So, I mean, or at least everyone's in denial, one or the other.
Well, I mean, it could be renewed, but I mean, I'm just looking at its numbers.
It did its best numbers last weekend, so or last Friday.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've heard that it's good, but I watched the pilot and I was just like,
it's gotten much like Flash. It's gotten progressively better.
Yes, I agree with that.
Yes.
And it says here it got a 25% jump in ratings.
Right.
So,
And the interesting thing is it held the audience from Grimm, the 18 to 49 audience.
Well, I will say, I mean, I'll say this. I would like it to stick around, if nothing else, because it's more TV work here in Atlanta, and that's always a good thing.
Well, that's true, too.
And I would like to see it stick around, because what I saw of the pilot was that they finally got, even though they're pronouncing it Constantine, which is not right, they got John right, finally. I mean, yeah. I like John. So, but, I mean, maybe that's one of those things where with Flash and Constantine, just like I tell people, well, start with the train episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, where's the right place to start with those two series? Because I'd like to like them. I mean, I'm a comic geek, for fuck's sake. I mean, I love everything comics.
That's a good question with the with Flash.
Now, the thing
it's interesting because the way that they do that Flash is the last 2 minutes has so much information in it that it informs everything that's coming down the pipe. So, shoot, I wouldn't even know where to begin with I don't know. I guess with the episode where. Now, that's the second episode, isn't it? Where they're discussing actually what happened at the plant, or they're remembering what happened at the plant and Ronnie being killed inside the reactor. Because you know Firestorm's there, right?
Oh, yes. I saw the geekgasm on Facebook.
Yeah.
Now, I see where the NBC...
I actually probably should call and see if Shag's still alive, to be honest with you. He might have had a coronary at this point.
Well, he's probably – somebody needs to just make sure he's been eating. He's probably just been – he's probably got it DVR'd and is just watching it over and over again. he's transfixed by an animated GIF of whatever transformation scene happens.
It was pretty cool the way they introduced him. But anyway, I don't know. I wouldn't know where to start with. You're right. With Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it's definitely the train episode, right? Because that's where they found what they were going to be, what the show was going to be about.
Yes.
And but with Flash, it's sort of always known what it's going to be about, but it's slowly getting there. You know what I mean? I guess. Anyway.
Right.
What's her name? Rox had something to say about Constantine, I think.
Oh, no, well, kind of. I never got into that mystery of Mysteries of Laura, and yet they're slating that for another season.
Oh yeah, that thing? Yeah, it was horrible.
Yeah, it's really bad.
And yet it's still around. It's probably cheaper to produce. That's probably why.
Is it because, you know, when you consider the DC stuff is all over different networks.
Right.
Right.
Do you think it's each network really doesn't know how to handle DC property?
Well, I think with... again, just going off of what I saw in the pilot of Constantine, which I understand was reshot and reworked a bit, but I mean, it felt to me like that didn't belong on a network TV channel because
neither does Hannibal.
Well, you see that
Hannibal comes off totally. You know, if they shot it, because to me, Vertigo should look grimmer and darker.
You saw the Preachers going to AMC, right?
Yeah, which is a great place for it.
Yeah.
Do you think so?
But the thing is, don't forget, Rox, they don't see Constantine as the same as something like Hannibal because Silence of the Lambs was a serious, you know, Oscar-winning movie and Constantine is just a comic book. So they're not going to put the same effort into Constantine they did with Hannibal. They should, but they're not going to.
They should.
That's a good point, Scott.
Because of the content and what they do, it's like the one episode where he uses that guy as a vessel to get rid of a demon. To me, that storyline ranks up there with a Hannibal type story. And you know, you guys, I always gripe about the way a show looks. You know.
Right.
That, you know, if you have the correct cinematographer or direction of, you know, the visuals, I think they should have shot it, you know, using a different lens. Anything. It's like, yes, Gotham has that sort of set look, but it's almost the way I kind of compare Gotham with Sin City. You know, in a way of, this is the way we've painted our picture. So the colors are always the same. Whereas Constantine kind of changes all the freaking time.
I was just going to say, what I would love is to see it be the whole HD kind of thing. And maybe somebody does this, I don't know. But when they get into the crazy shit, when shit starts going weird and crazy, that's when you switch to, it starts to get grittier and more grainy and more, because you're leaving the real world. Well, you know what would be awesome is to if you shot the quote unquote real world stuff in HD and everything else on film, so you instantly went into a completely different feel.
Yes.
For when magic and shit starts happening. I still want Night Force. I still want a Night Force series.
Huh.
But that's just me.
Hmm.
I've always wanted to mess with that.
Right.
But I think part of it is that I think Marvel is smart to have the entire cinematic universe be one thing, whereas DC has stated that they're not going that direction. Because I think that helps it, as opposed to – because right now, you know, the fact that I'm watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., even if I haven't really enjoyed the character of Agent Carter, let's just say I'm watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I've seen Agent Carter, I'm going to go, well, I got to go check that shit out.
Mm-hmm.
And they would be smart to have some sort of tie-in to the Netflix miniverse. To draw people over there as well. I mean, if Netflix is smart, they'll do that. But I think part of it is that, again, I think DC is just rushing shit because the other thing that bugged me about The Flash is that every fucking character in there was like a major character or villain. You know, like everyone in the lab, when you look them up, you go, oh, well, that's Killer Frost, that's Vibe, that's such and so. It's like...
That is what's nice about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is while they do have a lot of connections to the comics, there are characters that are original and stuff that is original.
Right, but also you have stuff like, I mean, I did not know that Mac, there is a Mac character in the comics, but it's just very different from the TV show. So you can – just like there's an Agent Sitwell in the comics, mm-hmm. completely different in the TV show. So they draw in non-major characters as opposed to like Flash where fucking everybody's a major character.
But again,
I feel like they're front-loading it.
But again, with the whole Marvel universe, it's contained more. Whereas DC seems like, okay, who wants to buy?
Well,
and that's
part
why
of it
it's
is,
all over the place,
yeah,
right?
Well, part of it is that I think, as Tuffley pointed out before, Warner Brothers doesn't have a network, whereas Disney, because they own Marvel, they have a network.
Well, don't they kind of have CW, or did that go away?
They sort of do. Yeah, it's sort of theirs. Warner Brothers. I mean, it's
Disney as ABC.
Yeah, no, it's not as definitive as ABC, right? It's kind of shared.
Yeah, it's let's see, yeah, it's owned between CBS and Time Warner. It's what UPN and the WB turned into. So it's jointly owned, which still, that still sort of begs the question as to why isn't everything going there?
Yes.
But again, it's DC. Maybe they're making the same mistake Marvel did, which is, oh, I don't know. who wants it?
Well, do they have the same setup that they can do that with their TV production as they do with their movie production?
No idea.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying Marvel has everything Marvel under one thing. I'm wondering if with TV and with movies, do they have the same setup with TV and movies with DC? Because I think I've mentioned it before, DC is a general – not DC. Warner Brothers is a general studio, and DC is sort of in the mix somewhere. They don't have like a dedicated unit. Yeah, I said unit.
You said unit.
Devoted to DC comics. Sorry, I couldn't resist.
Yeah, I don't know. That would be a Tuffley question. I don't know. But
I think that's one of their big problems is they don't have that's the thing. They don't have they don't have a strategy for everything. I mean, like when they did their upfront or whatever they called it when they talked about Phase 2 and Phase 3. They know what they're doing.
Right.
They are, at least they seem to. We could be wrong. But they seem to have everything pretty much set up. You know what I would love to know, though? Is when they started Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., did they know at the beginning that they were going to be doing Inhumans and in having Sky be an Inhuman?
I think... What, Rob, are you okay?
Yes.
Is that you?
Yes.
Okay, just checking. I wanted to make sure it wasn't gunfire or something.
No.
Oh no, it's the brown shirts. So what?
Dog. Hey.
Woo. What?
What was that, Scott?
I don't know.
What was that?
I don't know. I don't know.
Anyway.
At the time, I don't even know. Just go on. What were you saying?
I don't remember what I was saying. What was I saying? I was saying something. What?
What?
Huh?
Huh?
I don't know.
Huh?
I got completely lost. Anyway, what were you saying? I just figured that the problem with did they know she was going to be an Inhuman? I think... they knew from the beginning who she was, that she was – spoilers – that she was Daisy. But I don't know if they had – I don't know if they had the whole Inhuman thing set up yet. But, I mean, as Tuffley said, that's how you get your mutants, is because right now there's no mutants, or at least no – you know, you don't have X-Men. So I don't know. We shall see. I think
Oh, I meant to ask you, are you looking forward to the Black Mirror Christmas special?
I can't watch Black Mirror. It gets in my head and won't go away.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like you didn't like it anymore. That's why I was.
Oh no. I liked what I saw of it, but I just it preyed upon my mind.
Yeah, it does that.
Yeah. So I'm like, I have enough shit up there right now. No thanks. No. So.
Yeah. It's kind of cool that they got John Hamm to be in it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, considering that I think we mentioned before that some of the stories out of there have been optioned for films. It's
well, at least the digital memory thing one is.
Yeah, I think there's been – I think there are like two others that that got tapped as well. But I don't remember exactly. But yeah, so yeah, Robert Downey Jr. optioned that one that you were talking about. So here's a question. So, you know, in addition to our regular recommendations, what I'm curious, what is the if you had to pick one thing from the year, pop culture wise, that you enjoyed the most, what would it be?
Well, can I go first?
Yeah, John.
Guardians of the Galaxy, done.
Ooh, yay.
Yeah, that's a good one. And it looks very pretty at 1080p.
And may I also recommend it on Blu-ray?
Yes. 1080p on my 1080p Blu-ray player on my 1080p television.
But everything else looks like crap, but you can just watch Guardians of the Galaxy over and over again.
Yeah, I'm going to have the Marvel movies in heavy rotation.
Wasn't Frozen out this year?
Was it?
Last year.
I think it was last year, yeah.
Was last year? Really?
Last year, yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yep.
Then Guardians of the Galaxy for me.
Yeah, I think so.
It was a happy film for me.
Well, I mean, since everybody else is saying Guardians, I will say, well, I would say for on the non-serious side of things, even though it was extremely serious in some respects, I really enjoyed Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
It holds up to multiple viewings.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, it does. And Carter was in it. I love that poignant scene.
Oh, gee. Oh, God. That stabs me in the fucking heart every single time I watch it.
I know. It does.
See, that's why I want her to get Whitehall's, like, immortality, whatever he has.
Yeah, but I mean,
that would just be a perfect little, you
but
know.
I mean, part of the problem is.
I liked it. I liked it a lot.
No, I mean, I like it and I don't. I mean, yes, I would love to see her rejuvenated and kicking ass again in the present, but.
I know.
I don't know
if it would work in the present.
Well, I will explain. Basically, part of the reason why Winter Soldier works is because Steve is alone.
Yes.
And if you take that away from him, then that makes him less unique and less special. And if for the purposes of that film, less isolated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, speaking as somebody who has lost three grandparents to Alzheimer's, there's no magical chemical that fixes it. It just gets worse, and it's awful. So that's why it just – when they pulled that, I was like, oh, fuck, and it happens every single time. But I really liked Winter Soldier. And I also really liked Snowpiercer.
Oh, yes! Yes! I saw it at least three times.
So.
Be the show! Yes.
Be the show!
Then, Only Lovers Left Alive, have you seen that yet?
I've not seen that yet.
Oh my God. You know, it is a good testament to people who have a long-distance relationship. who are together for a very long time. It is a great film, even though it's a vampire film, about a married couple. A married couple. It's a great film. And it's Jim Jarmusch. And you know what? He came up with an interesting take about, you know, how to pretty much kill a vampire, really.
Oh, don't say anymore.
I'm not going to say anymore. But it's a Jim Jarmusch, and that man can really think outside the box. And he really pulled it off with this one. And cool. I think it actually snuck up on, you know, a top 10 film of the year type list.
Yeah.
So, see it. Skip over Boardwalk Empire, fifth season, and see that one.
Well, you saw where Snowpiercer got, like, the Boston critics gave it film of the year. So.
Oh my God.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes. Yep. Yes. That was like my, other than The Adventures of Tintin, Snowpiercer has been like my go-to film. That and Only Lovers Left Alive really has been.
Yeah.
You know, that I've actually watched multiple times. And I've actually watched Snowpiercer multiple times.
Hmm.
Yes.
Yeah,
and you know what? I actually like that Tom Cruise film, too.
Well, Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really
liked it. I thought it was Murder, Death, Kill, or whatever it's called now.
Well, it was originally called All You Need Is Kill, which is the English translation, as I understand it, of the original novel, graphic novel, whatever it was, which I absolutely loved as a title. But I understand why they went with Edge of Tomorrow. No, that is actually really... really good movie.
Mm-hmm.
And can I just say, it goes back to the point of what we were talking about previously, what Mockingjay Part 1 did not do. It was a perfect example of writing compression.
Yeah.
It would have been so easy to show iteration after iteration of what he was going through, but instead, you didn't know how long he had been there.
No,
you just knew it was progressing, but you didn't know how long.
Right.
And I thought that was great. And I am so happy that that is being properly utilized in, you know, in like Walking Dead. They've been utilizing it really quite well. And, you know, indeed, to an extent in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they've been using it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, where something that previously we would have seen dragged out for 13 episodes gets resolved in 2 to 3, you know, and done in a way where it doesn't feel rushed. It just feels tight. So, yeah, Edge of Tomorrow is a perfect example of how to tighten up that sort of scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Really good.
This has been a long year.
Oh, right, Heather.
Yeah.
I honestly feel like I've lived 3 years in 1 year.
My
year has been that bad. But
well,
you know,
yeah,
I had really good high points. I will say that, but it felt like three years in 1 year.
Well, what's odd is in one way it went really fast, but in another way it just dragged. So it's kind of like it's been weird. I'll also say that and see your take on this, Rob, but. Right now, my favorite album of the year is Death from Above.
Yeah, I can see that.
I love the shit out of that album. It makes me happy. What's yours right now, Rob?
You know, I hate having to do lists. I loved the War on Drugs record that came out, and I'm a little late to it, but I like the Beck record.
That is good.
That is really good.
What did you think of the Bowie record?
You mean the single or the new compilation? I was just gonna mention that. Did you read my mind?
No.
Ew.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, there's a new
read,
be quiet.
My mind. Sorry.
There is a David Bowie retrospective, like two CD or three, it's like two or three thing, depending on which one you get, but it's sort of a career overview of David Bowie, but it goes in reverse order for the track listing, and it's got a new song on it. I think it's really good. I mean, it's the thing that's fascinating about it is I keep forgetting, oh yeah, that's a David Bowie song. And I keep forgetting that John Lennon sang on Fame.
Mm. You know what, Rob? You know what I keep forgetting?
Fascination.
No, I keep forgetting that we're not in love anymore.
That's okay. I do want to add, too, to everybody's list of stuff. I'm completely with you on Guardians of the Galaxy, but I absolutely loved Imitation Game.
Which I haven't seen yet.
It's amazing. And then also there's a movie that came out that just kept getting legs all year long. It came out, it wouldn't leave theaters, and then it left theaters, then it came out on DVD, and then it came back into theaters, but it's John Favreau's Chef.
Totally missed
it. It's a really cute, good little movie. It's one of those that can like fill in every movie niche that someone has that they want to see, which is kind of a cool thing to have for a movie. It's something that'll please everybody and make everybody happy. Wade, you got me thinking about the album of the year now thing, and you're driving me nuts with that. So thank you.
Sorry, you're welcome. I did really. It took a little bit, but I also like the St. Vincent self-titled album.
Yeah, I like that. I do like the Orwell's record too. That came out. I like them a lot. And they're in an iPad commercial now, so I'm really happy that they're sort of getting some money. What was that? Okay. if you want something really dark too, that Sharon Van Etten record was great. That came out this year. It was like her breakup record.
Mm-hmm.
The War Paint record I really liked a lot too.
Yeah, I heard a bit of that. I need to go back and listen to the rest of it.
And a band called Eagles, EUGULLS. I really like that a lot. So
that's cool.
There's just, I mean, the one thing where it's like the year has been absolutely craptastic in terms of, I think Rox will fill me out on this. It's emotionally been like an incredibly draining year.
Yeah.
And pretty sucky all around. Although, you know, I got a good girl, so I can't complain about that.
That's right.
It was a really solid year for music. There's like a ton of really great records that came out just out of nowhere too. Like I didn't even know that there was a new Death From Above record. Right. And I didn't even know about the Faith No More thing I sent you. And the Chains thing. Remember the thing I sent you the other day with LaRocca from.
Yeah.
Run the Chains or no, Run the Jewels. I didn't even know about that. So it's like, there's just all these records that are just popping out of nowhere.
Yeah. There's too many of them.
What is this? Yeah,
too many of them.
That's a good problem to have. Yeah, you know,
this is true. Better that than nothing at all.
Yeah.
I was making love out of that, by the way.
Oh, that's good. So you're making love out of nothing at all?
Out of nothing at all?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Also,
John to a T.
There's a Caribou record called Our Love I Like Too. It's got a really good thing. Everything I like this year kind of had melancholy to it, which is, I don't know. That's probably bad for me, but.
Yeah, I'm pretty much either melancholy or breaking shit. I have a few things in between, but mostly it's that.
Yeah. I will not miss 2015 or 14. I will not miss it at all.
No. And it had such promise.
No.
No.
Well, considering what, you know, 2013, I was like, oh.
Oh, well,
surely,
yeah.
Surely this must.
No.
Oh, fuck. Never mind.
No, yeah. That was my downward spiral of crap. So, yes, you're right, though. Sure.
Oh, and I did. I'm so sad that Iggy Pop is no longer going to be on BBC Six after the start of the year.
Because
his radio. Well, he was filling in for Jarvis Cocker.
Oh.
And his radio show is amazing. So if you can find it anywhere.
Yeah. Although I suspect they could find room for him.
Actually, you know what? Just as a filler, just listen to his interview with Terry Gross. It's really fun because he's in his own studio and he's like moving stuff around and she actually's like, What are you doing?
Like Rob?
Yes. Like Rob. Yes. Rob is our
actually
evening.
I was trying to keep a shelf from falling, so yeah. But
Was it that fucking elf? Is it an elf? Is that what it's done?
Oh my god, you have an elf?
First of all,
oh my god,
no, first of all,
put an elf
on the shelf
for you?
No, there's not. First of all, I quote the 19th Ferengi rule of acquisition, thou shalt never have an elf on the shelf in your home. No. I just have a ton of CDs that I brought home last night from the station because I had to do a pre-record and I stacked them perilously. And I was trying to keep them, you know, the misadventure. I think Roxy were here when it happened, but every once in a while you hear this avalanche of things falling and it's like, oh, Rob dropped CDs or books again. So, yeah.
Oh, Rob, you know what else I liked was the Robert Plant album.
Oh, I was going to ask you about that. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually really liked it.
Getting back to Iggy Pop, I think they'd find room for a show. I think they will because
I hope
so. And again, I know I've told Widge this, but I don't even know if Rox knows about this, but Craig Charles of the Red Dwarf, Craig Charles, has a funk and soul show on BBC Radio 6 that is absolutely just astounding.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I didn't know. Wow.
God, it's really good.
And he's got a compilation, group of compilation CDs that he's curated of like all of his favorite obscure stuff. But yeah, Giles Peterson's really good too. I don't like a lot of his DJ stuff, but when he DJs, he'll like one week it's like, okay, this is stuff from Peru, you know, or here's stuff from Indochina, and it's actually really awesome. I like that a lot.
The thing that really, Rob, maybe you could tell me if this is just a UK thing, but what I don't understand is when DJs talk, here's how they'll talk. So the music is going on behind me, right? And normally here, an American DJ would just talk like I'm talking right now. But a British DJ will pause so the music fills in behind it, when really, if they just kept talking, they would be done a lot faster.
So you mean he talks over the record?
What's that?
You mean he talks over a record?
Oh, yeah, when he talks over a record, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, that's interesting about this, because what's funny is when...
What?
Scott, is it your gram?
Does she need the computer?
Where's the beef?
Is she asking if she can vacuum in there?
Where's Scott?
We lost Scott.
No, she wanted to ask me something, and she didn't know I was recording, so...
That's okay.
So what did she want?
She wants to know if the program has downloaded or not, so she can...
Oh, my God, are you illegally downloading stuff for your grandmother?
Of course not.
That would not be wrong. Let's not implicate Scott's grandmother in anything.
Yeah, Scott is not downloading Matlock.
No, he's downloading. Matlock. He's downloading Mayberry RFD.
No murder.
Now, do not put such stereotypical shit out there about my grandmother.
Mother, Elmer, murder. She wrote. Come on, Scott.
No.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yes.
Hey now.
Hey now, don't dream it's over.
It's wow.
Or Maud. Actually, Maud. Maud is great.
And then there's Maud. Scott's
No.
Scott, is your grandma Maud? Because that would be awesome. I want to see that 70s show that Scott made with B. Arthur. I want to see that. I bet it's great.
It was a cooking show. Where Scott gets beaten up every episode.
Wait, if Scott's grandmother is Maud, then who's Harold?
Ew! Stop it! Stop it! Right? Shut up! Quiet!
Getting back to your music thing, you know.
Yes, let's do that.
I think it's a variation because like when I started doing radio stuff in college, they always said, hey, talk over the intro of a record. It's called, you know, over a little bit because it breaks up the sound a little bit. when you do your what you do what's called a post, where you talk over the beginning of a record, like if they're playing, you know, Do They Know It's Christmas, and you're like, oh, this is Do They Know It's Christmas here on blah 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 blah, right?
Right.
And a lot of radio stations did that. Then in America, we sort of got away from that when we started having companies buy large radio networks. So basically, it's like Widge is in Detroit, and his voice is on 15 different networks. We kind of moved away from that. But in England, they still sort of do that, where they talk over the beginning of a record, or they play. Actually, the other thing they do is they have a music bed going, too. Like, so while you're talking, you have a whole bed of song over every break. The Dick Dale song from Pulp Fiction or something, it's playing underneath every time you go on the microphone. Right. I think it's just something they do that we don't do anymore.
Hmm.
I totally think it's a cultural thing, because they believe in having sort of sound be continuous, and we sort of like to break it up because there's commercials, because we like everything in small bits. That's kind of what I think it is, but I could be wrong.
I like the whole ongoing sound thing too, but I was just like, God, just get to the point. You're saying.
Oh, no, I do like that, because I have some recordings from some radio show, and they were talking about Moom, and it was sort of cool. I forgot what track it was, but he's like, and here it starts out quietly, and that was really kind of cool. I mean, it's nice to have as a, you know, an addition to it. But when you do have tracks that are softly thing, I don't know. I don't like the, you know.
Yeah.
For a purist. But as an addition, it's fine. You know.
It depends on how they do it. Like Wolfman Jack sort of pioneered that.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that sort of took off in the 50s and 60s. And then sort of as college radio came along, it happened. And then sort of when we got into commercial alternative radio, we started moving away from that. You know, everything sort of had to be a little more corporate and a little more straight-laced, because we started losing – I think that's probably the reason why we don't listen to the radio as much, sort of collectively. If I'm wrong, let me know. But is the idea of a personality-driven radio show with music is kind of gone.
Yes.
Whereas it's been replaced with the personality-driven talk radio. And over there, it's very much still about personalities. You know, the comedian Frank Skinner has a show on Radio 6. And sometimes they'll have different people sit in and do things. You know, just the way they program and the way it's presented is totally different. I mean, there it's sort of like, we're going to let Craig Charles on the radio? Yes, we are. You know, Iggy Pop would never, ever have a radio show in the U.S. Neither would Henry Rollins or Stevie Van Zandt, you know.
Part of the problem is that they wouldn't know what to do with somebody who is playing, you know, Bob Dylan, Miles Davis, and then Beastie Boys, like one right after the other. And I think part of it, too, is the difference here is that you would have a personality and then music. Whereas there, all the shows that I've been listening to are the personality, and then the music is an extension of the personality. You know what I mean?
I went to a interview once at 91X, and they were like, you're giving too much information. People don't listen to the radio to be inundated with all the information about a record. They just want to hear the record. You know, give them 10 or 15 seconds, you know. And that's just kind of how it's turned now. You know, we just don't like a lot of stuff. Like you listen to a radio. I was listening to the radio today, and they were talking about Sebastian Bach has a new record that he's come out. Oh, this is Sebastian Bach. He's working on a new record, and then the song started. It's like that's it. That's all I'm getting. You know, because our classic rock station is very rigid about how long their DJs talk. But it's also, too, that a lot of people were walking all over the beginning of intros of songs. Now, you still hear it a lot on hip-hop radio, because they totally still do that. You hear it a little bit on jazz radio, and you hear these really great old soul DJs. They still do it, the toasting and the talking over the records. But commercially, nobody does it. And I think it's a shame. And that's part of the reason why Iggy Pop's so good, and it's part of the reason why guys like Steve Lamacq are really good, too.
Well, Iggy Pop is so great because he'll tell you some insane story, or he'll just, you know, talk about the bass player on that particular track, And when he gets to the end of what he knows, he'll just say, "And that's all I know about that. Now here's the Beastie Boys." What the? Holy God, you're amazing. So.
But that's the best way out of it, you know, because some of us would be like, okay, how do I get out of this? You know, the other thing that's a lost art, too, is going from song to song. Like now we have these like mashup of 80s and 90s stations where you'll go from like, you know, one song into another that doesn't really fit. You'll go from like, you know, Lady Gaga, Bad Romance into Do It To Me One More Time, you know, the Helen Reddy song or whatever. Right. And it just sounds, it's just a collision. The idea of like songs working, whereas I, because I'm old, think of sound, the progression of song from song to song to song, it's like an art form. Rox might understand this, but it's sort of like you're creating a sound collage instead of a visual collage.
Yeah.
So it's sort of it's I think of it as almost a form of art, because to make songs block together that work really takes a lot of thinking.
Do you think a lot of people have fallen out of that because they have these shuffle capability on like iPods and stuff?
Yeah, but I still think of, you know, even with that, you can still sort of control that a little bit, you know.
Does the tape modern still do that Christmas mix?
Yes.
Okay, because I hadn't heard the one from last year. I didn't know if they did that. And that's a good example.
Yeah.
Because they do this Christmas compilation of some, you know, of holiday music that's been remixed and stuff, and it flows really well. And it's the people of the Tate Modern that do this. And I don't know who the DJs are that do that. Do you know who does it for this year?
No, I think they get somebody different every year, is my guess.
Right. Okay.
Is what I would guess. But yeah, this idea of sort of curated sounds, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes. There's a show too. Man. It's also in my Christmas list. And of course, last year was really horrible, so I didn't really listen to Christmas music. But there's a show where they actually, it's an hour show. I think it's a PBS show where they actually find even what people have recorded, you know, when they have their own little audio thing, you know, recording devices, and they'll do family stuff. Like I remember in this show was the holiday Beatles album or little 45 that they gave out to fans who belonged to the Beatles fan club. So, and that was part of the episode. And I don't remember the show. That's the problem.
Yeah.
But it's really cool because it's like, you know, one was they had a recording of, you know, a get together at a Salvation Army type of thing. And people were singing holiday songs and stuff. And it just made a nice little ephemeral type show.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my take on that.
And that's all I know.
Yeah.
And now he's out. And he's out. Yeah, I hope they find a place for him, because his shows are a hell of a lot of fun.
They're still archived, aren't they? I can't remember if they are or not.
Yeah, I believe so. So, yeah, that's one of my favorite things of 2014 is the Iggy Pop show.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
I'm going to say Trains for 2014. Just saying. Yeah.
You say that every year.
I do. But, you know, I've been on Trains a lot more this year.
I have something.
Yeah, Scott.
That is actually not Marvel related for best of the year.
Okay, what?
Cosmos.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, explain.
What, you didn't like it?
No.
I thought it was great. I thought it really had a nice, you know, it uses visuals well, and it had a really great message. And I thought Neil deGrasse Tyson was great as the host.
You don't have to remake something that's perfect the way it is.
It's been 35 years. There's new stuff. They could remake it.
It's Carl Sagan.
I know.
It's Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Well, but
it's
but,
Carl Sagan. He's the Dickens
he's Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Well, hang on.
Moonracer.
Wait. I don't see it as a remake. I see it as just like another iteration of it. I didn't think.
Yeah.
I didn't look at it as, oh, well, they're trying to replace Sagan. And I think everything I've heard from Neil deGrasse Tyson was he was just trying to do like the next generation of it, not say, well, no, well, fuck that old shit.
I saw it as an iteration as well. However, it didn't capture.
Yes.
It didn't capture the joy of what science and space exploration could be.
Yeah, really?
I just didn't.
Yeah. To me, it's a reiteration in the same way that Great Expectations is a reiteration of Dickens with Ethan Hawke.
Wow.
That's a cheap shot.
No.
Insult Dickens in that way. Or even insert your Dickens.
Or Barbed Wire was a reiteration of.
Oh, no, that's just me.
Or Last Man Standing was a reissue of Kurosawa. Of Jojimbo.
What'd you think, Twitch?
I only saw the first episode, and I enjoyed what I saw. I thought he actually did a really good job of establishing why they wanted to do it, and it seemed fine. I would like to go back and watch it at some point. I just haven't had a chance.
John?
I didn't like it very much.
Fuck.
But remember, John doesn't like Casablanca.
I mean, here, Scott.
Good point. That is true.
I have nothing against the man. I do not because I've I've gone to planetarium shows and he and he wrote them and he narrated them. Mm-hmm. Somehow there just wasn't the magic I thought, and that is including, CG effects being so much better. Somehow it doesn't help with the overall story, there was something about Sagan's voice, and again, we're talking about personalities. Somehow there's a really cute little YouTube video where and he can connect with kids. Tyson can connect with kids. And there's a little one where he's talking to a 6-year-old, and he tells her how to become a scientist. And that's cute. It's great. He does know his audience. Yeah. This show and I know what's his name from Family Guy poured a lot of money into this. I think if they did it as a continuation or an annex or an index.
Or what if he was off camera?
Yeah.
Because part of the reason why Cosmos worked originally is that Sagan was off camera. So
he was on camera a lot.
Yeah. You're right. But it's almost like you get so lost in who's moving, or maybe he moves around too much or something. There's just something in the way he does the presentation that can lose you if you're not instantly hooked on it. And that's not a bad thing. I mean, I've seen him when he does interviews and he's compelling and he's got an audience, but there's something about his delivery at times in that's a little stiff or a little off. And it may be just the way they edited it. It may not be him, but it's just, I don't know. It felt off to me.
Well, listeners, why don't you comment in the comments below about what you think of Cosmos or anything else we're talking about?
And please, what if I'm
listening on my iPod? Where are those comments below at?
Well, go to the goddamn website and comment then.
Hey, Scott.
What?
It would make the end of the year a little less dark for a lot of our friends and listeners.
What?
Hey, quit stealing my sigh. That's trademark.
Hey, wait a minute. I had this sigh before you, goddammit.
Anyway, this could be a really good time for Rock Lobster.
What was that again?
You were woefully negligent this year. Boys in the cave.
Girls in the bar. Everybody's rocking.
Is it me or is the Rock Lobster kind of weak?
It's you.
Okay.
Wow. Wow.
It's like Stephen Moffat's script week.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hardcore.
We're going off of Doc's pink pages, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Just checking.
Wait. Is it pink or is it lightest red?
Both.
Yeah, both.
Okay.
I think though, and I know which this technically counts as cheating. While I'm not thrilled with the season of Doctor Who, nor the progression of the stories, two takeaways from it that I was happy about this year was that. One, Peter Capaldi was like amazing.
Yeah.
And if there's any actor that sort of deserves any accolades or fame for his body of work, it's him. And if people watching him in Doctor Who will at least seek him out in other things, then that's a good thing for me. Like Thick of It or something
Thick
like
of
that.
It.
So yeah. So
that works.
So
but
is that
yeah,
a recommendation?
Well, that's sort of like a sum up the year type of thing.
Room temperature recommendation, maybe?
Yeah, sort of like that. I was just curious, because I was thinking about it myself.
Yeah.
So, but speaking of which...
For the station, I had to do the 10 best albums of the year thing they always ask us to do, and I hate those. I hate lists. It's so horrible. Because you forget half the things and then like, oh yeah, I like this and I like that. You know, drives me nuts.
I understand. So, what's that?
I was gonna ask John if you've seen It's a Wonderful Life yet, because it is Christmas. I figured by now he's seen it like 30 times.
No, not yet. I'll see it probably this weekend.
No, they don't do that anymore, remember? Because they reestablished copyright.
It was not NBC this year.
I have it on DVD anyway.
Oh, okay. No, remember like back in the day? No, remember back in the day before they reestablished copyright, they would have it on all the time everywhere.
Yeah.
It's on like two or three times now. I don't think they do it a whole lot, but it's on like two or three times. It's one of those things that like nobody's going to complain about the rights for because, you know, it's like who's you know.
Are you kidding? They'll complain. They don't care. We're talking about Hollywood lawyers. They're going to complain.
How many times does Mr. Gower hit him in the ear in a season? Just check him. I hate that movie.
Wow.
Thank you.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
We've talked about this before.
Yes.
Okay.
I think it was Uncle Billy that put Mr. Potter in that chair.
But I think Mr. Potter has greatly been maligned.
I do too.
Oh, fuck him.
Nah.
Fuck that one percenter.
Well, hey, the type of milk he likes to drink is his own business.
Yeah.
He doesn't drink milk, because anytime he gets near milk, it sours.
Happy New Year to you, Scott in jail!
Eat the rich. So, you were thinking about recommendations there, Witch?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's time for the final recommendations of 2014 as we careen towards getting getting
hopefully
done
yet,
with this
yet,
fucking year.
Yet another better year.
Oh, God, please.
They don't get better, Rox. They just get progressively frightening.
Oh, wow.
Sorry.
I've got something.
Really? Have you been tested?
Hey, I use protection, goddammit. I'm responsible when it comes to being slutty.
Okay. Yeah. Do their mothers know that?
Anyway, I happened to discover, it's been on for a couple of years now, but I discovered, like, the Americans.
Yes, really? It's great.
Oh, it's great. God, that thing's amazing.
Yeah, the new season starts January, I think.
Yeah, because, and I saw it as, like, I think my grandmother's watched some of it, and I figured, fuck it, I'm going to watch it, and, like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's really good, and the funny thing about the Americans is that the guy who played John Boy Walton in it is like a badass.
I know! But yeah, it's the premise is back in the 60s, the Russians inserted a whole bunch of spies who were taught to be completely American, and we cover two of them who are in suburbia, have a small business of their own, have a couple kids, and, you know, every once in a while go out and, you know, kill people, steal secrets and such. And then the twist of the pilot is an FBI agent from counter-espionage moves in next door. And hilarity and murder ensues.
It's set in the 80s, too. So it's set at the height of Reagan. It's set the height of, like, the Reagan Cold War era. Yeah,
when the Russians thought that Reagan was going to blow them up.
So does that mean shoulder pads are in the show?
Not yet.
A little bit.
They haven't quite got... It's 81, 82. They haven't quite gotten there yet.
Headbands.
They just got a... Last season, they just had SDI and Star Wars.
Yeah, so last... That's, what, 83, 84? First season was SDI. Second season was Stealth.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's like... 80, I think they left it at 82. So, there's still some late 70s, early 80s stuff. So, we haven't quite hit... Pads. Yeah. So, but no, it's amazing. And what I think something you've talked about, Widge, is the compression that you've talked about.
Yeah.
Is how they don't really go into a great amount of detail. They do a lot of show, not tell.
Because unnecessary detail.
Unnecessary detail. Exactly. It's very, very tight, tense and stuff. And I mean, Carrie Russell, if you just remember her from – nice legs there. If you just remember her from Felicity, shit. No. She's a cold stone – fuck, I can't talk anymore. Cold stone bitch. That's what I was trying to say. And it is really interesting because it does show, you know, even though these guys are trying to destroy America, you feel for them. So it is.
I feel for them.
But no, the first season is on Netflix. I think the second season, at least for now, you have to pay for on Amazon. But it's really worth it, and it's, like I said, it's very interesting looking at this stuff and the multidimensionality of the Cold War, which you don't see in a lot of things. So you should definitely check it out, John.
Yes.
Done. Dong. Thank you. I feel I have to warn him because if he doesn't know, he'll forget.
Well, it's always good when you warn people, Scott. I know that's not your normal style.
Oh, people like surprises.
No, they don't.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
Woo-hoo! No, they really don't. See, like that. I didn't enjoy that surprise.
Sorry.
Well, no, that's not my kind of surprise.
Was that the elf, Rob? Has the elf come after you?
No, that is the chair of death. Sorry.
The chair of death. Okay.
Yeah, people, buy stuff from us from Amazon so we can get Rob some oil. We can get him some WD-40.
Is he like Nipsey Russell in The Wiz?
Yes.
Or pina coladas.
I saw Nipsey Russell once. It was awesome.
I'm sure it was.
I went to the one time I went to Vegas, I saw the Rip Taylor Christmas Spectacular.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, no. I have not laughed more harder in my entire life. But
no,
Nipsey Russell
I'm just opened. Waiting for the comment.
What? You, my friend, are not a Rip Taylor. I'm sorry. You as an entertainer, you're just Scott.
I've seen a Rip Taylor, and I know you're not a Rip Taylor.
Okay, look, bitch.
a shirt that just says "You're just Scott."
I served with Rip Taylor. I worked with Rip Taylor.
Oh, no,
you, sir, no, are no sir. Rip Taylor.
Hate you, people. I'm fabulous, goddammit.
He's probably more of a, I don't know. You're probably more of a Ken Berry than a Rip Taylor.
Ken Berry?
Ken Berry.
Yeah. You know, from the Herbie the Love Bug movies and F2.
I know.
Yeah. Always stuttered.
Are you kidding me?
Because he would always start a sentence and like go and forget what he was saying and then have to start all over. So.
You.
Although, if they did a Mama's Family the musical, you would be great in that.
Yeah, that's right, Scott. Mama's Family. Come on.
God, you people. You people.
Come on. Cat, you know, that's a Cat from Outer Space, the musical. There you go.
Oh, my God. I would so watch that.
I would watch the shit out of that.
Yeah. Well, considering what Disney's been doing with their musicals, it's going to happen soon.
Mayberry, RFD.
Well, look.
Yeah, don't get me started on Into the Woods.
Oh, my God.
Well,
no.
Hang on. Now, you saw where they came out and basically said that whole thing of Sondheim saying they butchered it. That was discredited, right?
No.
Did Sondheim himself say it? Because if I see him on a TV saying it, I will tend to believe it. But, you know, he's Stephen fucking Sondheim. He can say whatever the hell he wants.
Oh, did you hear what he said to Meryl Streep, though?
Well, no. I mean, I can't imagine anything terrible.
No, apparently they met before filming and stuff, and he came up with a new song for her.
Oh, great story.
And basically, he told her, "Don't fuck it up."
No. Well, hang on. Yeah, well, basically, she asked, you know, "Would you mind signing my sheet music?"
Oh, that's
and he
right.
said, "No,
yeah.
I would love
oh,
to."
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So he wrote on it, "Don't fuck it up, Stephen
yes.
Sondheim."
Yes.
But what I loved was, and this was amazing, was that she apparently had a no witch rule. Because she said, what was it? She turned 40 or something, and she in 1 year got three witches. She was offered three witches. No scientists, no action, no nothing, just three witches. And she was like, fuck this nonsense. I'm never playing a witch.
Explain the Devil Wears Prada. Yeah.
That's a witch with a B.
Oh my. So
I guess if she wears fabulous outfits, it's okay.
That's all right. So no, I am apparently, I mean, according to the Hollywood Reporter thing, it sounds like it's intact.
Oh.
So I'm not Sondheim won't be interviewed about it again because he was so pissed off at the fact that they misconstrued what he said.
Oh. Huh.
Well, he is Stephen Sondheim.
He is Sondheim.
I know.
I mean,
I cannot wait for the way Homer on this.
I'm afraid of it.
Oh, no. It's bad. I just can't wait for the rant.
But I mean, it is Rob Marshall who did Chicago, which was
yes.
awesome. And he did Nine, which
was also good.
Which was good. I mean, it just – I think what the problem I had with Nine was I just don't like the show very
but
much.
But here's the problem.
Yep.
How many parents or – how many kids are going to see the commercial and go, oh, princesses, and they're going to bug the crap out of their parents to take them?
Well, they said they're going ahead with a molesting perverted wolf, so –
So hopefully the PG-13 will be like, yeah, no.
Oh, man. Which I'm not going to say anything.
What?
No. It's okay.
Okay. All right.
Do you still have the wolf outfit, Widge?
No, I don't.
Can you get one?
No, Scott, I cannot.
Wait, why are you asking? It's very.
Well, I know. Where's this going, Scott?
Well, you said perverted, molesty elf, a wolf, and I was like,
Well, ooh. You can all you want, Scott.
I'll make more.
It's a shtick. People expect it.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
They may expect it, Scott, but they certainly regret it.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Blitz.
Too soon, Rob. Too soon.
How did you know that was my signature sex move? Just plow right into there.
Yeah, he's like... he's like, would you like a little what I call the Dresden?
Wow.
How would you like to see my scorched earth policy? So Rob, what's your recommendation? Not whatever shelf you're pounding.
No, that was the desk. Sorry.
Oh, he's pounding the desk. Oh. Is this the spinoff?
No, you broke me.
Yes.
So yeah, no. So far, which broke me now again. Okay, well, I'm going to recommend a couple things that sort of seep through the cracks that are kind of great. The first is a
previously
band called Always.
On desk.
I'm sorry.
Nothing. Huh?
Hmm?
What?
Nothing. Okay, I thought you said something. A band that's slipped through the cracks, they're called Always, but they spell it A-L-V-V-A-Y-S, right? They're really good. I really like them a lot. Their album is self-titled. It's out on Polyvinyl Records. It's really melodic and kind of fun, and it sort of sounds at times like the Crystals, and sometimes it sounds like, you know, the Pixies. It's just kind of weird. So I want to recommend that. Also, the Orwells, I want to recommend their record. They're great. And another movie I liked a lot that probably didn't make it to a ton of theaters around the country but was still really good is the Helen Mirren film, The 100-Foot Journey.
Oh, I saw that just recently.
Yeah, it's really good. So I do recommend that because it's also quite great. And... yeah, trying to think. Oh, Imitation Game. I do recommend that, and also the new Lord of the Rings film. I highly recommend that. It's got about 50 minutes of pure battle, and they did it. It's very similar to Return of the King, obviously in style, but you can tell they learned some things from Lord of the King about pacing and plotting. It's only 2.5 hours, so it goes by very quickly. And Sylvester McCoy is quite funny in it. So there you go. And Ian McKellen is Ian McKellen. So despite the fact they took a couple liberties with it, you know, it's overall pretty entertaining. So, yeah, recommend that as well.
Okay.
And I can't think of anything else because the year was just complete rubbish. So.
All right. Thanks, Rob.
Exfoliate the year from your memory.
So Rox, what have you got?
Oh, let's see. Okay. Sitting here at our public access channel set. My sister
it looks
has...
like the set. Oh,
no, go ahead.
It looks like the TV station in Family Ties that Michael Gross worked at.
Oh my God. It is. Yeah. There you go. My sister has the complete set of Beatrix Potter original books. Look at that. I mean, there's a ton of them here on this shelf. So I'm going to go with that because I've been perusing these. And I actually saw that movie. It was apparently like a little sleeper film. Has
Renee Zellweger?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Interesting little film.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. And the funny thing is I couldn't believe it. As a printer person, she did a press proof. You know, when the stuff is on the press and she's complaining about the color, no, you need to bring up the color on the blue. It was kind of funny. So, the complete set of Beatrix Potter little animal books. I picked up for myself the Mincing Mockingbird Guide to Trouble Bird, profusely illustrated. Cool.
Oh, you found that. That's really
I
good.
Found it. Now, here's the take on it. an authoritative illustrated compendium to be consulted in the event of an infant or small child being torn apart by a murder of crows. Yes. So
how old of a child?
It doesn't say. But cares? It's really neat.
Well, no. It's just, I know a child who's three, and I might want to tell their parents.
Yeah, you may want to.
I'm glad you clarified that, because I thought you were taking that in a very strange direction.
There's cool little poems, and they talk about some of the, the birds, it's quite nice, because, owls are evil. I actually saw two owls. I've actually witnessed two owls attack another bird, and it was a coordinated attack. One hooted, then you heard the other one hoot. Then you heard one hoot again, and it got shorter the distance of the answer until all of a sudden two owls descend upon a blue jay. I saw this in a park, and it was like freaking amazing.
I tell you one thing, Rox.
Circle of life.
I saw an owl one time who hooted and then polluted. So.
Well, then there was Siege with an owl.
Thank you, Rob.
So it's one of those cute little artsy poetry books. It's a nice read. Like this at the back, there's a raveny sort of bird, and it says, "Your eyes look tasty." Some type of book.
That sounds great.
It is. It's awesome. And the way it's one of those little artsy books, because it looks like it's been a discarded book from a library. So that's really kind of cool. Haruki Murakami's The Strange Library. Kind of another
A few best of lists.
It's very clever. I like it. Several people stranded in a very strange library, and they're trying to get out of it. And there's a lot of cool artwork. The design of the book, the cover flips up and down so that you have an instant bookmark type of thing. And it's very graphically done, but it's not a graphic novel.
It's a shame Din isn't here, because I could just hear her saying, "Why would they want to get out?"
Well, yeah, this is true.
It's Murakami.
However, it's Murakami, yes. So he's got several books out this year. I didn't pick up the other one, but this is a nice quick read, because sometimes his stuff can, bog down a bit. In graphic novels, I haven't talked that much about this. Agnes Quill, An Anthology of Mystery. Slave Labor Comics. I'm a big fan of the indie labels off of comics, and she's a paranormal investigator, and it's an anthology with different artists for it, and it's clever. She talks to dead people, helps solve crime. Rob, you're looking like your Blair Witch. Just saying. I'm waiting for you to start tearing up and going, Josh.
I've actually seen Blair Witch.
Really?
Yeah, I just thought it looked stupid the first time I saw it, so I didn't. No.
So, yeah, Agnes Quill, Anthology of Mystery, and I'm going to go with, like I said earlier, Snowpiercer. That's being streamed.
Is that any good?
Yes!
I'm kidding. I've heard Winch talk about it a little bit.
My God, Be the Shoe. One shirt says Be the Shoe. Man, and Tilda Swinton's like, man, I have a girl crush on her. She's awesome.
Yeah. Rox, have you seen Birdman yet?
No, I haven't. No.
Okay. Oh, God, I got to see
it. I want to see Big Eyes. Have you seen that?
I want to see it this weekend.
Okay. Oh, my God. Okay, a Netflix Hulu show. And it starts next week. The Wrong Man, Series 2. Catch up on Series 1. It's the guy who played Gavin. Well, he was in a Doctor Who, the pudgy guy.
Oh, James Corden.
Yes. Yes, it's a funny, awesome little, you know, wrong person type, you know, caper type chase show. Fun. So, wrong mans. Plural. Not men, mans. It starts, I think, Christmas Day. So if you're bored of your family.
Which you will be.
You know, because you're waiting for the figgy plum pudding. You know, it starts, I think, December 25th. So you can watch all the episodes and binge watch. Because you've already had turkey for Thanksgiving. And you're stuck with turkey for
Christmas. Figgy pudding, huh?
And figgy pudding.
So what about, you know, gooey butter cake?
Oh, my God. Yes. Yes, gooey butter cake is also on the pop culture list.
Now, are you going to be there through Christmas or not through Christmas?
Through Christmas.
So if you wanted some of that, I need to send it to you there, not down there.
Send it to, actually, wait till after January and then send me some.
Okay.
That'll be nice. Yes. Thank you. Done. Done with 2014.
Yes.
Oh, before you go to John Widge, I have a sort of a recommendation actually from my grandmother.
Okay.
Oh.
My grandmother has discovered Go the Fuck to Sleep.
Well, you know that there's a sequel.
I know, we're waiting on that. But she discovered Go the Fuck to Sleep, and she has not laughed so hard in quite a while.
She doesn't find your antics funny, Scott?
Sometimes she does, but this, okay. The thing is, she raised 5 children.
Rox, so
just hit that sweet spot.
What? Rox, it's not funny, haha.
Okay. All right.
So now she absolutely loves it. I'm sure at some point we'll be getting the sequel, but I can't remember where she heard about it, but she said, "Can you get this?" And it's like, "Sure." And we got it, and she got it, and she laughed her ass off. Because, like I said, she raised 5 kids, so.
Well, what I like is that Sam Jackson read the audiobook of the first one, and the sequel called "You Have to Fucking Eat" is read by Bryan Cranston.
Oh,
Did you see the thing, the YouTube of LeVar Burton reading "Go to Fuck to Sleep"?
Yes.
Wow.
No, the Walken one is great too. The Christopher Walken one is great.
Yeah, they were doing this fundraiser, and LeVar Burton was there, and it was like for a kids' charity. One of their goals was he'd read "Go to Fuck to Sleep," and he did, and it was funny as fuck.
Cool,
Mr. Reading Rainbow.
All right,
go. And it was even funnier. His kid was actually there.
Nice.
His daughter was there, so you know he's actually saying "Go to Fuck to Sleep," and his kid's like right there. So that was even better.
Well, she's like 30, right?
Yeah. True, but still, it's your dad saying go to fuck to sleep.
Thank you, Amara, for coming by. I appreciate it.
What?
Here we go.
Huh?
Here we go.
And now, story time version 2.
This is one of my favorite children's stories. It's called Go the Fuck to Sleep by Adam Mansbach, illustrated by Ricardo Cortez. The cats nestle close to their kittens. The lambs have lain down with the sheep. You're cozy and warm in your bed, my dear. Please, go the fuck to sleep.
Okay, LeVar Burton rocks.
Nice. All right, so John, what is your? I know it's nice. I gotta check that out.
Rainbow.
If I would laugh this much during the regular year, I might be happier.
Oh, it didn't
help me. 2014.
So 2014 isn't all bad. We had LeVar Burton saying go to fuck to sleep.
So John, your recommendation.
My recommendation is let's see. Guardians of the North? No.
Universe?
No. Planetary system?
Guardians of the Gahool?
Yes, that's exactly it.
Yeah, we don't have the Irishman here. It's not as funny.
It's those fucking owls Rox was talking about.
You better get that in Blu-ray, and because you know nothing looks better in Blu-ray than an owl. That's Guardian Gahool. Or and if you also, there's another little indie project that I heard of that's really, really cool, and I highly recommend it. It's called Guardians of the Galaxy. So pick that up. It's kind of difficult to find.
Well, just be careful that you don't get the knockoff version, which was called Guardians of the Galaga, which is completely different.
And of course, if you're doing any of your Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or tree lighting or tree burying
and John,
festivities. Yes, go on.
John, make sure you also don't get the other knockoff, which is called Guardians of the Gallagher. and with Vin Diesel as the voice of the cantaloupe.
Well, you know what's great about the what is great about that particular special edition, though, it does come with
a hammer from that.
It comes with a raincoat. But anyway, if you're doing any of your,
he says, "I am Gord."
We are Gord.
What about Guardians of the Golgotha? That's not a happy story.
No, that's not good at all.
But if you're doing any of your holiday shopping, be sure to head over to needcoffee.com/Amazon, and it'll be just as though you're going to Amazon. If you have Amazon Prime, now's the opportune time to use it.
It is the opera time. So
opera time.
And I would recommend Dario Argento's Guardians of the Giallo. So, Giallo. Well, they shouldn't have spelled it Giallo.
I hear Spike. Guardians of Gore Vidal. Okay, he had his
Scott, are you thinking of Guardians of Gelato, which is different?
Or Spike Lee's Guardians of the Ghetto, which is that last comment was only slightly more slightly less racist than the Sony executives. But anyway,
hey,
go
John?
On.
Hey John.
Yes.
Do the Groot thing. Sorry.
You throw a potted plant through a window.
Hey.
Oh God!
Is it like Guardian of the Garfunkel, where everyone keeps our Garfunkel from like going insane and murdering people?
No, that's Guardians of the Gorbachev.
Bradley Cooper as Garfunkel.
I thought that was Guardians of the Gorbachev.
No. You said that.
David Ogden Stiers as Art Garfunkel.
Hey.
Art Gun.
He made a great Martian Manhunter.
Yes, he did.
He's got the baldness for it.
Well, he's a shape changer, so that explains why he was so large.
Hey,
so anyway,
wait, hold on a second. I owe Scott something. Okay.
Kind of late, John. Kind of late.
And Widge stepped on
it. It's never too late.
Sorry. I didn't mean to step on your locusts. So,
yeah,
all right.
The X's move.
What?
I forgive you because they're kind of hard to see because they're very locust. Very locust. Oh, hold on one second. Hold on. Let me get back over here.
Right. Maybe next year we can work on the soundboard's timing.
Ooh.
That's part of its charm.
Can we go?
My recommendation is real quick. I recommend the third volume of the Looney Tunes Platinum Collection on Blu-ray because you need them, and they're your friend.
Yes, I do.
And there's 50 shorts on there, and they're all awesome, and they look amazing. I'd point out that while we are gone, before we come back in 2015...
That is not the right Thriller left. Ruth Busby, ladies and gentlemen.
What the hell?
You have to watch the YouTube version of the show.
Right. What have you done, Rox?
Nothing.
So
fingering in a ball.
She's fingering a ball? What?
Yes.
Wow, God, Scott, you put it that way.
You put it that way, then you're right.
We might win an Emmy, so please go to YouTube to find this show.
God. I am Testicles, son of Zeus. So, also I'll point out that coming up before the end of the year, it is the Vicious Christmas Special. Find it,
God.
And the series.
Oh, I forgot all about that.
However you can, and know that series 2 starts next year sometime. So.
Oh, thank God.
I know.
So watch that during the holidays. Oh my God, the best Christmas movie ever.
Yeah.
Die Hard.
Gremlins. Oh.
Lion in Winter.
Oh, yes, right.
Yes!
Because we all have knives.
Piss on your piece. It's fantastic.
I'd rather on the nipples, but I'm afraid it would shock the children.
Yeah. So as if my year wasn't bad enough, she has to remind me that Tech Nine has more Academy Awards. Oh, 3-6 Mafia has more Academy Awards than Peter O'Toole. Thanks.
They're not real Oscars. Don't worry about it.
I know. Did you finish, Widge? Did we
stomp all over? I think we've stomped it to death and can thus run away. So as we exit 2014 through the emergency exit and the alarm sound, I think we should take a moment to I don't know what the hell's happening anymore.
I gotta stop.
What is happening?
Nothing.
But it's so close.
You sound you sound like
dog.
Okay.
You sound like Freddy the Frog in New Zoo Review when he laughs.
Oh,
when you do
okay.
That.
You and oh my God, wow. You invoked that. We need to go.
All right, fine. We're all gonna stare at each other and say McRib.
Oh God,
McRib. Mm, delicious.
It's the mouthfeel.
Not in a good way.
It feels like a mouth inside your mouth.
Normally, that's a good thing.
Oh,
is it not with the McRib?
No. Is it a Ralph mouth in your mouth?
Oh, God.
No.
Better than a Mr. Mouth in your mouth.
Or Mr. Miyagi in your mouth.
Oh.
Says that, you.
That's where you don't want the wax on.
Speaking of which... I found out. I went to go give. Yes, no, exactly. I went
yeah,
to go
can't
give.
Wait to hear this.
I went to go give blood the other day, and they have on there where you know to donate blood, where it says you know did you get a bone? Have you had a bone graft? And I instinctively marked it no, and then went whoa, wait. Actually, I had a bone graft when I had my teeth removed a couple of weeks ago, and so then I went to the little room, and I told her, hey, you know. I did have a bone graft, and she goes, what kind was it? Was it human or animal? I don't know. Called up my dentist. Come to find out that I have the remains of a corpse in my mouth.
No!
A human corpse. Or as they put it, human cadaver bones.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Cadabra,
change your range.
Which... We've yeah. got the next horror movie right here.
Woo.
Corpse Mouth.
Okay, that sounds even ruder than normal.
Well, it's got to be better than the next Paranormal Activity movie, whatever the fuck that is.
Wow. I've got a dead man in me.
That sounds wrong.
John,
yes,
John, you should go to Colorado and see if that gets you a discount at Dead Guy Days.
Dead Guy Days. I got a dead man in me.
Hey, I'm 0.005% corpse.
I'm slightly dead.
That's what Sonya said.
Sorry.
I couldn't help that.
Oh, do you think did Sonya know about this?
So
but
sorry.
Rocks.
Rock.
But rigor mortis can set in.
John, does Sonya know about this?
Hey, Rocks. I just want to say I'm very proud of you.
About.
Not that that matters for anything.
The upcoming weekend at Boutel's.
About having a dead guy's bone in my mouth? Yeah, she knows about it.
It's not dead man's curve, it's dead man's
so
bone.
Rude.
Oh, God. I can't.
Go on and
little
talk
mouth
in your mouth. Hole.
Little mouth of horrors.
Little mouth of horrors. But you know what? You can spell it W-H-O-R-E-S.
Oh, God.
Why is it always cock with you?
That's a hell of a way to end 2014, John. Thank you.
With corpse mouth. Great.
Yay!
corpse mouth. That, hey, that brings us full circle, because that's a missing Cenobite from Hellraiser 3.
Yes.
Well, he's making an... He's making,
oh, my God, Hellraiser 3, so Witch of the Cinnabon.
That is true. Oh, you're always hungry, Scott. All right.
Did we say McRib?
I did.
Did we say that? Did we?
I did.
Okay.
I didn't really want to.
Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Merry Christmas!
No, thank you. Not a Happy New Year.
Happy Chanukah.
Christmas break.
Shalom.
You know what's great about Christmas?
What?
Nothing.
Well, bah humbug to you too, asshole.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Jesus.
Just can't please some people.
Everybody, send Scott socks. Just because.
Stop. Yes. Stop it.
Gotta use them anyway.
Stop it.
Oh, I didn't say that.
Yeah, Rob did. Of course Rob did.
He's got a chili pepper on.
Shalom. So thank you, our Weekend Justice listeners, as we conclude this night's broadcasting here at the Spaz House Annex Public Access Channel. We wish you a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, into the new future. I am signing off, Rocks of Spaz House, for me and all the witchlips.
To Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea. God, I'm. Good night, folks.
Good night.
Goodbye.
Give me just a minute while I clarify.
And here's Dakota.
Inside in the membrane, inside in the brain. Ba-da-da-da-da-da.
Deep.